to. Ralph Bigler stopped practicing chiropractic medicine in March 2004 when he received a diagnosis of a terminal disease. He made a decision then to give up his license, and he has not since then at any time practiced chiropractic medicine. At some point, he just made a decision that he wanted to still help people, and so he is engaged as an energy wellness specialist. But again, this is in no way chiropractic medicine. In his office, there's no literature, no mentions, no certificates of anything referring to him as a chiropractic doctor. He was for years known as Dr. Bigler, the chiropractor. It is perhaps this history of people knowing him as that, that they believe when they receive these energy wellness treatments that they're receiving chiropractic treatment. I think just to kind of roll these two things together, there are two matters on the docket today. And in speaking to both of those things, there is the second matter includes a very serious criminal allegation against Dr. Bigler. Ralph Bigler. I say doctor out of respect for his education and training, but not because he's currently practicing. But with that in mind, given the seriousness of that allegation, I have advised Ralph Bigler not to answer any questions, to invoke his Fifth Amendment right to silence. We don't do that to in any way be belligerent or obnoxious. We are here out of respect for this body rather than ignoring this matter. So I would just say that now, if there are any questions to Ralph Bigler, again, I'm saying doctor out of his respect for his years of training and experience. I've advised him to invoke his right to silence. So if we want to go down a list of questions or just have that response come to all of them for this first and second matter, if you'd like to discuss that more, but that's at least our opening statement on that.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Board members, I want you to know that Ralph Bigler's license is officially lapsed because he was on a retired status and he did not maintain that status. And so I'm going to make a recommendation that we move this or send this to the Superior Court to file an injunction. And, we should issue a cease and desist letter to that regard.
I second the motion.
I made the first. We've got a second. Is there any further discussion? For the sake of discussion, he is not a licensed chiropractor. We do not have any purview over his license at this point. So if there are any matters of him advertising as a chiropractor, an energy wellness healer, if there are some of the other allegations, that will have to be sorted out the Superior Court. So I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, so we have four ayes and one absent, the motion carries. And so with that, I'm also going to call the next tab, which is 2022-022, also with Mr. Bigler, and we have the same issue. And so I'm going to go ahead and make the same motion that we refer this to the Superior Court, file an injunction, send a letter to cease and desist for any practicing regarding chiropractic.
Second motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay, so we have four ayes and one absent, and the motion carries. So that'll conclude the matter for today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go on to tab number three now, and this is case number 2021-024 regarding Dr. Warren Birdsong. Dr. Birdsong, are you present? Okay, Dr. Birdsong, if you are joining us virtually, you need to unmute yourself at this time and introduce yourself for the record. Okay, how about Mr. Matt Anderson, are you present representing Mr. Birdsong? Okay, can I get a board brief, please?
The allegation is practicing while license is suspended on administrative suspension.
Okay, another call out to Dr. Warren Birdsong or his counsel. If you're present, you need to unmute yourself so we can hear you. Ms. Vanderveen, did we think he was going to be at the meeting today?
I have not. I had not heard from them. We did notify them. They were properly noticed, and the notices did not come back to the office.
Okay. Well, board members, what's your pleasure? I mean, we can have the meeting without him and take action, correct? And
Yes, you could. You could also continue it if you wanted to the next meeting and see if you could get them to show up. But yes, you can move forward and offer some kind of consent agreement or move it to formal interview.
Dr. Guarino, Matt Anderson has just entered the waiting room for the Zoom meeting.
Okay. Joining.
I just admitted him, so he should.
Hello, Mr. Anderson, can you hear us? Hi, Mr. Anderson, can you hear us now? If you can, please unmute yourself and introduce yourself for the record. Mr. Anderson, we are on the tab number 3 for Warren Birdsong. If you are representing him, please introduce yourself for the record and unmute yourself. Okay, let's move on to tab number 4 and table this for right now, and we'll come back to it if he can hear us at some point. All right, so tab number 4 is a matter of Dr. John Duff, and this is case number 2021-004.
Hello, I'm very sorry to interject. My apologies, this is Matt Anderson.
Okay, hold off for a minute, Dr. Duff, and we'll be with you. All right, so we're going back to tab number 3 for Warren Birdsong. And so, Mr. Anderson, you're representing Warren Birdsong. Is he present with you?
Correct. He is to my right.
Okay. Great. All right. So can you please reread the board brief then, and we'll start that one over.
Sure. The allegation is practicing while license is suspended on administrative suspension.
Okay. Mr. Anderson, what do you say on behalf of your client?
So thank you. And again, my apologies for our technological difficulties on my end. Not Dr. Birdsong's fault, of course. So I think the chronology is set forth well in our March 26, 2021 response to the subpoena. In short, Dr. Birdsong has been a censure and discipline-free chiropractor for 42 plus years. And back on December 2nd of 2021, he began the online application process, as he always does, a month early, paid the application fee, and without getting into the details, although we think they matter, he encountered timeout sessions or timed out sessions. I know personally I've encountered those on various websites 3 times. And so, in other words, he was working on his application online continuously and eventually received what he believed to be a confirmation that his application was received. And so, and then he paid the fee and did nothing further with it until early January when he hadn't received his license. And I would note that he reached out to the board within the first week of January, perhaps early the second week, to say, hey, I submitted my application, what's going on? And then through a variety of circumstances, was advised of a late fee and was trying to get that squared away. And in the meantime, unbeknownst to him, he was administratively suspended, even though he didn't receive notice of that until January 18th of 21. So once he received that notice, he paid the late fee, tried to get it squared away. And Dr. Birdsong acknowledges that he could have contacted the board earlier before expiration, meaning by the end of December 2021, to say, hey, was my application received? Am I in good standing? He didn't. And so since then, including in 2022 for his recent application, he's taken steps to avoid that from happening again. And he certainly takes this very seriously, as he takes his reputation as well. And I'd note that he's here in person and willing to answer any questions the board may have.
All right, thank you for that. I have a question, you know, and when we were looking at the materials, it looks like he's taken the same CE courses for several years in a row. And I'm wondering why he's doing that and why he doesn't mix it up a little bit. It looks like it was a course, AZCE 18027, Spinal Examination Diagnosis and Treatment. What do you say to that, Dr. Birdsong?
Sure, I can address that. I'm a Gunstead chiropractor. I said Dr. Gunstead 45 years ago. Dr. Martin, he teaches the Gunstead technique, so it's a refresher for me every year. I've been teaching from 1978 to 1995. I taught Gunstead technique, examined adjusting procedures at Life Chiropractic College West and Palmer College of Chiropractic West for 17 years. So Dr. Martin's class was a refresher of the technique I use every day in my practice, and I teach, and I taught my licensing seminars in California with the same technique. So why wouldn't I go back to the same person that I learned from and get a refresher? It's the technique. It's the Gunstead technique, and that's what I do, and that's a refresher every year for me. I wouldn't want to take a topless technique or any other technique diversified when I do Gunstead solely. So that's why you go to Dr. Martin.
Excuse me, I would just also add to that, the CE contains credits for 2 hours of record keeping as well.
Okay, understood. Okay, so the submitted application was in December of 2020, and then on the most recent renewal under question 18, asking if he's under investigation, he marked no. Did you not know there was a case open and that this was coming, or why did you mark no on your application?
I received no notification of that.
Right, so, and let me just add to that. I believe the complaint, 2021-024 was received in March of 2021, and the confusion may be that our office, we closed our file. We submitted our response on March 22nd, 2021. We hadn't heard anything, and we closed our file, so perhaps I can take ownership of some of that in advising Dr. Birdsong going forward that the matter was still open. And we failed to appreciate that it would come forward to a board meeting a year later, but clearly that's the case. And I would just add to that I think there was some confusion that I think the language was under investigation, meaning are you under investigation? And I don't think Dr. Birdsong took an unresolved complaint, which could be dismissed as under investigation. So I think there was just some confusion there, no intent to deceive.
Okay, and we have a very robust agenda today, and so I appreciate the concise answers. I'm going to ask my board members now if they have any questions for you. Anyone?
I do not.
Ms. Powell.
Why do you think that this complaint maybe seems unauthentic? You made a comment in your letter.
Unauthentic?
I haven't read that.
Yeah. That's a quote. Complaints seem unauthentic.
Oh, can you? I'm sorry. And you're talking about the response to the board subpoena?
Page 2, the footnote. On a related note, it should be noted that it is unclear to Dr. Birdsong or this office whether there exists an actual complaint. or whether the board initiated this matter based on a random review of Google reviews.
I believe that's in relation to a complaint. So I have a different, that's not the March 26, 2021 subpoena response. Excuse me, I understand now. I think you're referring to our response to a COVID-19 masking allegation. And I believe that was already resolved by the board. The board had indicated it would send a notice to Dr. Birdsong, I believe, which... I'm sorry.
I apologize. I didn't realize that that was a separate matter that we still, that we had resolved. My fault.
That's fine.
Okay.
Another question.
All right. So, board members, what's your pleasure? Do you think this is something we can resolve today in a non-disciplinary fashion, or would you want to move it to a formal interview to do anything potentially disciplinary? Your normal options.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I would make the motion that we issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter pursuant to 32-924E2. The violation is a minor technical violation that is not sufficient merit to warrant disciplinary action.
Okay, and that non-disciplinary advisory letter is for failing to renew on time.
Correct, untimely renewal.
And answering no on question 18 for his renewal.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there a second?
Second motion.
Okay, any further discussion, board members? Okay, I'm gonna call for the question. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, the four ayes have it with one abstaining. So that concludes the matter for Dr. Birdsong today. Thank you for your testimony. If you have any questions about board decisions, you can contact Ms. Vanderveen on a separate day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now we're going to move on to Dr. Duff. Come on up. Welcome. And if you will please introduce yourself for the record.
Dr. John M. Duff.
Okay. Can I please get a board brief, Ms. Vanderveen?
The allegations are patient abandonment, breach of confidentiality, failure to release medical records, noncompliance with the board subpoena, failure to provide information to the board, and unprofessional conduct.
Okay. So, board members, the allegations before us, I feel the patient abandonment and breach of confidentiality could fall off, and I think we're really looking at allegations number 3, 4, 5, and 6. Dr. Duff admittedly delayed on release of records, which were long overdue. He said he was a perfectionist and wanted to get it right. We advised him that's not appropriate, the records need to be completed in a timely manner, and that he needs to release them within the 10 days, and then also comply with subpoenas. So now we finally do have the records. Thank you for that. And we have billing records that match it. And so that's the new information that we have before us. With that, I'm going to ask my board members if they have any questions for Dr. Duff with the new information that we have, or any questions in general. Paul, you know a lot about record keeping and billing. Any questions?
I'm having a little technical difficulty.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Curiosity factor for me, and we don't get involved in fee disputes, but it looked like there was over $23,000 billed out between May of 2018 and December of 2019, and it looks like the patient actually paid $18,000 or more of that. Seems excessive, but we're not here to control your fees. I looked at the records. I thought they looked reasonable, and I looked at the billing. I didn't compare all of the billing to every date of service and every charge. So if my board members found anything that they thought was not right with that, now would be the time to ask Dr. Duff to explain any of that.
Yes, this is Dr. Knopf. Dr. Duff, there's fairly large amount of visits with this patient over time. From what you can remember of the patient's case or condition, why do you think that their condition warranted so many visits and so much treatment and care with you?
Because they were basically just, they weren't improving, they kept plateauing. And in her mind, she had been to every other provider and was in desperation by the time that I saw her. She always seemed to respond to the treatment, but it wouldn't last. And so I often recommended, you know, trying to find someone else, but she was resistant to that and wanted to continue because in her mind, she didn't think there was anywhere else to go. And I didn't have anywhere else to send her other than colleagues, which I eventually did. And I think part of that too was just when she first started as a patient, she was coming off of some medications. Am I allowed to say what those are? Well, anyway, she was coming off some anti-anxiety medications that were quite difficult. And I, obviously, as a chiropractor, don't really have any experience with that. And so down the road, it was discovered that people coming off of those can get attached to the provider that's helping them. So I was a cheerleader trying to keep her going and keep her working on herself and improving her lifestyle. And every time I would say, I don't think you're getting better, you keep regressing, she would say, no, it's helping. And so I didn't see objectively that it was, but I didn't really know what else to do. Now, going forward, I've made some other connections to providers that I can refer to now. So that's been one positive thing that's come out of it. But that's really, and it was visit by visit. So I never said, hey, we've got to do all this treatment. I don't operate that way. I don't sell care plans or case fees. It's always visit by visit.
Okay. And I see in your documentation in some instances that there's a referral made to another provider. One example is Monica Owen for something called emotional freedom technique. Were there any other providers that you tried to refer this patient to outside of that individual?
Yeah. She had seen another chiropractor, Dr. Joseph Hager, at times right before me, and I recommended, you know, seeing him, and she said no, it wasn't really her mind helping. I recommended that she see counseling, which she did. She did see a counselor for a while, and that seemed to help. And then I did refer her to gave her three different names, two chiropractic neurologists, and another chiropractor that specializes in postural kind of spinal rehab correction, because she had some pretty bad spinal distortions that I was doing was not correcting. So, yes, there's three other names that you should see in there.
Okay. And would it be correct to just to summarize the patient's condition? She was typically, it looks like for a majority of her time with you, she was somewhere around 2 out of 10. Pain scale, regardless of area, sometimes it jumped up to a 3. Frequency was typically around about half of her day. So would you categorize this really as just more management rather than trying to get any reasonable clinical impact or benefit to the patient's condition?
Yeah, it was really kind of a team effort trying to figure out why, you know, why was she in such pain and why the chronicity of it? And there were certainly obvious spinal distortions and there was inflammation. But as you know, not everybody that has a spinal distortion or a perfect spine is in pain. So it was kind of like, well, and it turns out there was some mold exposure, but that's not something that, you know, that I deal with. It wasn't really on my radar. It's definitely more on my radar now. If I suspect that, to try to get those people out to somebody qualified. But it turns out she had mold exposure that we didn't know about.
So I believe that was a big part of it. And it makes sense, but the symptoms, there'd be good times and she'd be doing good and it would look like she was improving. And then all of a sudden she was back to where she was, and it was frustrating, but she would ask, well, is there anything more we can do? You know? And so it's like, well, we could do this test and it may show something, but it may not necessarily give us the cause of your pain or fix your pain. But I would do those tests on her request, and there would be action taken, but again, still just plateau or back and forth.
That's all the questions I have for now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Turvinson, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Ms. Powell, did you get everything up and going?
Thank you. What is the therapy that you do for 80 minutes, doctor?
I'm sorry.
There's a therapeutic procedure you do for 80 minutes on the patient. What is that?
Yeah, that would be frequency-specific microcurrent.
So explain it to me a little bit more in lay terms.
Microcurrent.
Okay, so it's like E-stim, interferential?
No, it's microcurrent. So it's the current is a millionth of an amp. It's physiologic current. But the frequencies are specific to the tissues. There's two channels. Channel A would be the condition of the tissue, and then channel B would be the tissue itself. For example.
So that's the standard 80 minutes is not excessive. That would be an acceptable.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of those frequencies are time dependent.
Okay. When you do myofascial release, you do 8 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah, eight to 15, at least eight.
Just to caution you, when you bill that, you bill it for 15. If that's the only procedure that you do, time-based procedure, it needs to be done for 15 minutes total time. The actual therapeutic part could be eight, but you should document 15-minute time intervals.
Oh, okay.
Save yourself in an in the event of an audit. Okay.
Thank you.
It looks like you did that most of the time, but not always. Also, you use a 1 to 10 pain scale. I'm just curious, what is a 4 on your 1 to 10 pain scale?
Really the patient. I mean, I try to describe to them the best I can that a 10, if you're a 9 or a 10, you're not in my office. You know, you're at the hospital. And even an 8, really, that's pretty significant. So I try to start there. And, you know, oftentimes with patients, you're trying to get these objective numbers, and they don't. They have a hard time answering. I don't know. It's a 6. And I was like, are you sure it's a 6? You're sitting here very comfortably. Okay, well, maybe it's a 4. So I try to do the best I can, but with those subjective pain cycles, give me advice.
Thank you. Well, it's not our job, I understand, to make recommendations. I would suggest you get a 1 to 10 scale that you can live with that actually says what it is, and train your patients so that you know, and it's consistent. When it equals 50% improved, they're at a 5, something that translates like that for record-keeping purposes would be helpful. And also look for the new ICD-11, as you're going to find the ability to treat chronic patients with new diagnosis codes. That will help you, I think, in situations like this one.
Thank you.
No more questions. Thank you.
Okay, so board members, do you think that we can handle this today in a non-disciplinary manner, or are we going to go to formal interview? Do you think that this may rise to the level of disciplinary action is the question?
Dr. Guarino, sorry, I apologize. The complainant is in the Zoom meeting, and she has raised her hand. So I don't know if she has something to say.
Okay, so complainant with the initials AC. Do you have anything you'd like to say at this point? Casey, if you're here, I can see that you're in the meeting, but you need to unmute yourself if you'd like to introduce yourself by initials and speak. Another call out to AC. Can't hear you at this moment.
Intervene. Did we get a letter from her?
We did.
The last minute thing. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. AC, one more call out. You are muted if you are trying to speak right now. So board members, my big concern is that we requested records and it took a long time to get those. And we know that those were generated long after the fact. So that is my primary concern. And then, you know, being non-compliant with the subpoena and so on. Um, 80 minutes of microcurrent seems excessive. I don't know how that's justified. What do you say to that?
Frequency-specific microcurrent is very, very unique therapy. You could look into it. In fact, they just had an advanced practitioner conference here in Phoenix, and that would be the standard of care. An hour to 80 minutes on a complex case where you're using more than one machine, treating six different frequencies at once, that is not out of the ordinary for that therapy.
So how many patients are you seeing in a day when you're spending up to 2 hours on one patient?
10 would be the max. Average is about 8.
All right. So last call out to complainant AC. Do you want to speak at this point?
Yes, I do. I finally figured out how to get the microphone on.
Hi, welcome. You've heard the testimony, I assume. What would you like to say at this point? Complainant AC, are you there?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I don't remember too much being referred out to anybody else until, like, at the very end. I had already been in counseling when I came to him. And so that's not true. I was already in counseling. He didn't need to refer me out. He referred me out to another practitioner who does, EFT, and I went to see her, but that wasn't a good match for me. And so I kept pursuing other avenues of other practitioners on my own. Let's see. And I had seen an acupuncturist and stuff like that, but all that stopped. Because I was getting help there with Dr. Duff. And the other thing is, so I didn't go and see Dr. Josh and Jenna Haggard until January of 2020, January of 2020, which they can obviously document in their documents. I didn't go and see her until then, see them until then, because it was after I left Dr. Duff's. And I also went and to go see Dr. Teams at the Arizona Chiropractic Board or Arizona Chiropractic Neurology Center, also in January of 2021. And I stayed with him for like 6-7 months because we were working on the neurology part. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, so this is Dr. Guarino. Did you say that you did not see Dr. Haggard until you were done treating with Dr. Duff?
Correct.
Okay. When Dr. Duff was working on you, did he do microcurrent? Did he put probes or electrodes on you and have you lay down for more than an hour at a time?
The microcurrent has actually been a very helpful therapy. It's wonderful. It works really good. But the longest protocol I ever remember doing was 70 minutes. And I now own my own machine, so I'm very familiar with all of the protocols and microcurrent.
Okay. Thank you, board members. Do you have any questions for complainant AC? Okay. All right. Thank you, AC. The board is going to deliberate now and decide what we're going to do in this case.
Mr. Chair, I would make the motion, and then, of course, we can have discussion if it gets there, but I would make the motion to issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, 6 hours in documentation, and 6 hours in case management to be completed within 90 days.
Okay, is there a second?
A second.
Okay, so continue discussion now.
And are those in addition to the hours required for
licensing? Yes, and in addition to the required hours. Yeah. Thank you.
And if not completed, move forward to a formal interview?
Yes. Thank you, Alyssa.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that was 6 hours in case management, 6 hours of what?
Documentation.
Documentation to be completed in 6 months.
I think I said 90.
He said 90 days.
Oh, 90. 90?
Yeah. 90.
Okay. Okay, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, I'm an aye for the opposition just because I think that's going really light on somebody who didn't comply with the subpoena and withheld records for so long. And then, and I appreciate his honesty, you know, saying that he was going to perfect them, but that's not okay. But the ayes have it. And so we have three ayes, one abstained and one against. And that concludes the matter for today. If you have any questions about what happened here today, you can contact staff on another day. Thank you. Okay, let's go on to tab number 5 in the matter of James Garrett, DC. Hi, welcome. Have a seat. Introduce yourself for our recorded record, please.
My name is James Garrett.
Hi, welcome. And Ms. Vanderveen, can I get a board brief, please?
The allegations are misleading advertising, practicing on a suspended license, and failure to renew a yearly license.
Okay. Dr. Garrett, what do you say to that?
Did you say I was practicing under a suspended license?
I did.
I don't have any recollection of that at all. I think I've always been up to date.
Okay, so you have not renewed for 2022. Do you have proof
that
you renewed? You got the certificate?
I don't have it with me, I don't think, but I did get a certificate.
Okay, so you could produce the certificate on another day if needed. Okay. Okay, so let's back up then. So we've got an allegation for misleading advertising and a website that says that you're specializing in physical therapy, and that's been corrected.
Well, it wasn't a specialization. It was an overlooked aspect. I had my website guy update my website, make it look more aesthetic, and I didn't proofread it all the way through. As soon as I got the complaint, I looked at it, saw physical therapy, and immediately had him take it off. Since then, he's been let go. Now constructing my own website.
Okay. Okay. Board members, any questions for Dr. Garrett?
Is your website currently live?
It's actually, we had trouble with some team pictures and stuff like that, so it's actually still under construction.
Okay. That's the only question. I've got a follow-up to that. Do you know when that website went down around about? Was it when you were making
it? It's been about 4 weeks. 5 weeks I've taken it down. However, when I got the initial complaint, it was the same day I cleared out that portion, the physical therapy aspect.
Okay. And then can you just tell me a little bit, about your practice? You're currently seeing patients out of your practice. And what kind of services are you providing? Is it adjustments, physiotherapy, and modalities?
New decompression,
decompression.
Medical massage.
Okay. And you've been seeing patients. When was the last time you saw a patient?
Come again.
When was the last time that you saw a patient? Was it within the last week, couple days? Was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm just going to remind board members to introduce yourself because it's a recorded record and staff is going to have to go back and do minutes at some point, and they may not know the difference between all our voices. So, Ms. Vanderveen.
Can I clarify the status of his renewal? We have received your payment, which was on 12/13, but he did not submit the application, And then we sent notice of admin suspension on February 2nd.
Okay. And
so February 2nd, you sent what?
We notified you that you were placed on admin suspension. To the email address that's on record.
How did you notify me?
Via email.
Wow.
So what that means is you're practicing without a license. When you're, if the payment is received or the application is received, if they're not both received by the deadline, you default into administrative suspension on the first of the year, and you're practicing without a license or malpractice insurance.
There must be some kind of a glitch in the program. I filled out my app and paid at the same time.
So logistically,
and I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember the renewal process, and we need to speak once at a time because it's a recorded message. So, or this is a recorded meeting. So is it possible? I mean, you can't get to the payment portal until you fill out your application, correct?
Correct. Well, to a degree, there's a link within the application that takes you to the payment portal. A lot of people miss the step that once you go into the payment portal, you have to go back in with the receipt number and sign the application. If you just go into the payment portal, you receive this receipt for payment, but you did not sign the Adobe Sign document. So it's just, it doesn't get submitted to the board.
Do you understand, Dr. Garrett, what she just said?
I do understand it. I know in the past there have been some glitches and things like that. I'm pretty adamant that I did the pay and receive the certification. So I'll go back to my office and find.
Okay, so we have receipt of your payment, it sounds like, but we don't have an application. Did you print your application? Did you save your application from back when you filled it out?
Did I save it?
So in either case, we still have the matter before us right now. So board members, what do you think? How do you want to handle this?
I think we can go one of two ways, either just move it to a formal interview, allow Dr. Garrett to try to produce anything that he has for documentation, or we can potentially just continue this, allow him to submit any additional documentation that he has, and then go from there.
Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan, if you do need extra documentation, I would encourage you to continue the matter and not move it to a formal interview.
Okay, so my concern is he's still under administrative suspension and he should not be seeing any patients right now.
Correct.
And it's very expensive.
And to have his license reinstated, there will be a $200 late fee that will need to be paid for board staff to process the application.
Okay. So go ahead and make a motion.
All right. I'll make the motion to continue to allow Dr. Garrett to submit any additional information that he might have on his behalf. And if we can hear it at the next meeting, that will be great. I know there might be some noticing issues, but if he's amenable to that, we can get this handled quickly.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second the motion for discussion purposes.
Okay, let's go into discussion.
If we wait till next board meeting, then he's got all this time in between that he's practicing without a license. If he renews it today, pays the late fee, then it's noted.
The burden is on him to come into compliance and get reinstated. It's not up to us to reinstate it. He's got to pay the late fee, right? And he's got to do that on his own. This isn't your turn to talk. And so that's where we're at. And so we're continuing this meeting potentially to give him a chance to come into compliance and work it out with staff, and then we'll deal with it then.
Okay. And in the meantime, he should not be treating patients.
Yes, until he resolves it with staff and he's reinstated.
Thank you. I'll second the motion.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay. We have four ayes and one absent today. So we're going to continue this matter, and you need to contact staff. You are on administrative suspension right now over this matter, and you've got to talk to them to get reinstated and pay the late fee and come back into compliance.
So the late fee is for what? For not actually having the application supposedly in on time?
For not getting both in by the end of the year to renew on time for January 1.
Okay, so who specifically am I contacting?
Ms. Vanderveen on another day after the board meeting today. Not today, maybe tomorrow if you'd like.
Monday.
We'd be happy to.
I'm sorry, it's Friday. We normally have Wednesday board meetings, so it's Friday.
We'll be happy to assist you.
One more time, I'm sorry.
Alyssa Vanderveen, and you can contact me. My information's on the website. We'll be happy to assist you on Monday.
Okay, so we're done for today. Thank you. Okay, tab number 6 is a initial action on Dr. Jason Gemmer. Dr. Gemmer, are you present?
Yes, sir. Hello, Dr. Jason Gemmer.
Hi, welcome. Ms. Vanderveen, will you please give us a board brief?
The allegations are misleading advertising and making false statements.
Okay. Dr. Gemmer, are you represented by counsel?
No, sir.
Okay. What do you say to the misleading advertising? I understand you had sports chiro specializing and full body treatments, that kind of thing, and it looks like you got it corrected and remedied.
Yes, sir. To be honest, I was a business card that I made in chiropractic school. Was a little ambitious when I got out, thinking I was going to start an LLC and start my own practice. Unfortunately, that was during COVID and didn't work out in my favor. I've been working full time now for the joint for almost 2 years, and I did remedy the business cards, but to be honest, haven't used them. I mean, I didn't even get a chance to get the business off the ground. I did look back through, you know, the documentation, and I said the word specialized on the business card, so I did change that. If there's anything else I need to change, I would obviously comply. But like I said, the business isn't really doing anything. I was just ambitious and trying to get something going.
Okay, understood. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Gemmer? Does anybody want to recuse? Did you say you're working for the joint right now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll be recusing.
Okay. Well, we still have a quorum, so let's continue.
Do we have proof that the changes were made?
I'm sorry?
Board members, any questions for Dr. Gemmer? It looks like he corrected the advertising issue. Hearing none, are there any motions to be made?
I think I would move to issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter to notify the licensee that pursuant to section 32-924, subsection E2, and section 32-900, subsection 1B, that the violation is a minor or technical violation that is not sufficient to merit or warrant disciplinary action.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
A second by Ms. Powell. First by Mr. Turbinson. And any further discussion? Dr. Gemmer, thanks for getting ahead of it and making the changes before the meeting. We appreciate that. I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of the non-disciplinary advisory letter, go ahead and signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay, we have 3 ayes that have it. Dr. Knopf has refused, and we've got Dr. Bennett absent. All right, thank you. That concludes the matter today, Dr. Gemmer. And then let's go on to tab number 7, which is Dr. Brett Guthrie. Dr. Guthrie, are you present? You are. I need you to unmute yourself and go ahead and say hello. Introduce yourself.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So I'm Brett Guthrie.
Hi, welcome. We're going to get a board brief by Ms. Vanderveen before you continue.
Okay.
The allegations are failure to complete continuing education, failure to release records, inadequate record keeping, failure to renew license for 21 and 22, and unprofessional conduct.
Okay. Dr. Guthrie, do you have anything you'd like to say to the allegations? I'd like you to know that we've read all the materials, and I need you to be to the point in brief.
Yeah, I've done all my continuing education. I sent that to you guys, so I don't know where that's coming from.
We're missing 2018. We don't have anything on the year 2018.
Did I not send those to you guys? Well, I know I've done them every year. I've done them every year. I thought I sent them to you guys. I can find it again, but I know I've done it every
year. Okay, so you can submit that in your testifying today that you did do the 12 hours of continuing ed for 2018, and you can get that to us on another day.
Sure.
Okay, continue.
Okay, and as far as releasing records, this was about, so my computer, so I had a doctor working with me, and he, so it was a naturopath. They pulled pharmacy reports. So he only saw 36 patients with us. There were 16 that weren't pulled for, that weren't showing up in his farm. So they were asking names of those so that they could look into those. But my computer had crashed several months before they even contacted me about it. And so I didn't have the names of the patients. So that's why that's the records thing. I didn't have the names of the patients that he saw. We only see them one time.
Okay, so what is your capacity in the clinic? Are you acting as a chiropractor on these patients?
No.
Are you treating them? Are you evaluating them?
No.
Are you getting their histories? Are you generating records, treatment records with them that you've done?
Yeah, so I do a soap note for a patient, just a pain exam, and then the certifying doctor does a review of systems, and then this is for medical cards. So they do contraindications, education. And then we only see the patient once every year, and then now it's once every 2 years. So we only see the patient one time over from the time that we had started seeing the patients, from he had started working with us to when they asked me about it. It had been about a year later and about 10,000 patients later. So I couldn't remember the 16 names that he saw.
Okay. So just to be clear, so you're generating soap notes. Are you?
Yes.
Are you knee to knee with the patient? Are you talking to them? Are you are you involved in creating records and treatment, acting as a chiropractor?
Yeah, I do the soap note. And so I knew going in that I would not be able to store all these files because we only see the patient one time. So I started scanning them in electronically, keeping them on my computer and shredding them because there was no way I'd be able to keep all these files. So I had them on my computer, but my computer crashed. So I lost all that and all the information of the patient names and everything. And now I just keep all the paper files in my garage.
All right. So I can't imagine anybody not having a valid backup system on their computers anymore. Like I've heard that excuse before, and I can't imagine that like anybody who is remotely computer savvy in the last 20 years does not have a backup system for important information on their computers. You're telling me that you lost the computer and you lost all the data with it?
Yeah, so I started a business from scratch. We were slow at first. About when he started working with us, about 6 months in, and then it crashed about 3 or 4 months later, and then that was in 2019, and ever since then, I do have a backup external hard drive. And I do keep all the paper files. I just go ahead and store them in my garage now. But at the place that I lived at the time, there was no room to store. I had no room to store files.
Okay.
So I back it up now and I keep all the paper files now.
So then there was a failure to renew your license in 2021 and then you renewed late in 2022. Is that?
So
what do you say to that? And then on the late renewal, you answered no to question 18, which is asking if you're under investigation.
Right.
Which you were. So, but no.
Right. So I never get a renewal notice. So I, for some reason, I got family in town. My parents come every winter. And so I just don't even think about my license until like the first hits. And for some reason on the first, I remember. And so I went on there both times, like morning of the first, and I paid and I just forgot and I never got a renewal notice. I don't know why I never get them, but I don't get them. So I did renew my license. I did it on the like first and I have my certificate to show that I did. And as far as under an investigation, this is 2022. I didn't think there was anything coming of this. I mean, this is like a naturopathic doctor's 16 pharmacy reports. Like I figured it was just done. Like I've never been called before my board before. So I didn't think anything was going on. I had no idea. And then I get this email that I'm getting called subpoenaed and I'm like, what is this even for? I had no idea what it was even for. I had to call in and ask what it was even for. And they're like, it's the thing back in 2020.
Okay. So you were on the meeting and probably heard previous cases. Do you understand if you do a late renewal, you end up on administrative suspension and you don't have a license?
Oh, but I did it like the morning of on the first. Like I thought I was good. I didn't have any other reason to think that I wasn't. I got my license printed out for me on like the first.
You might have a printed receipt that you paid a fee, but you don't get the actual validated license until you get an email, potentially a couple of weeks later, that has all the information filled in.
Well, it's a picture of my license with my name on it, so I thought that was my license.
Understood. Okay, so board members, we've got a couple of things going on here. We've got he says that he can generate and give us additional information for the 2018 CE. The failure to release records issue that was with the controlled substance prescription monitoring program. This complaint was generated from the executive director of the naturopathic board because they didn't feel like they had any purview over his license. And so now it's come before us, but I'm going to make a recommendation that we refer this to the Arizona Department of Health Services Medical Marijuana Program for them to understand what happened with what he was supposed to generate. But then we have these tangential issues around what you've heard so far today. So, board members, do you have any questions specifically for Dr. Guthrie?
Yes, I do. Dr. Guthrie, you said that you're keeping medical files now in your garage. Can you explain how you're storing those?
Yeah, I have them in a locked cabinet in my garage. Locked cabinet in my garage.
Okay, thank you. And it's your understanding that you'd renewed for this year on January 1st?
Yeah, it was what you're saying? Pretty sure it was like the first.
And it wouldn't have been maybe January 6th?
I thought it was the first. I mean, it was early on.
All right. And then, Mr. Chair, I see in the brief that there's 2018, but no 2019, just for clarification.
Wait, so this is 2019?
Correct.
My mistake. This is Dr. Guarino. You're missing 2019, not 2018. You're okay with 2018. So did you?
I'm pretty sure that I've done it every year. I mean, I don't understand.
Okay, so you're testifying that you did do 2019 CE and you can generate that for us and find it.
I'm pretty sure that I've done it every year. I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't have done my continuing education. So, and I submitted everything to you guys. So I can go look again.
We don't have that.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure I did.
Dr. Knopf, do you have any other questions for Dr. Guthrie?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Turbinson.
No questions.
Ms. Powell.
If we're moving this to the Department of Health, can we still ask him to do continuing education hours still make that? Okay.
Well, we need his information from the 2019 CE. So I'm going to make a recommendation that we continue the matter, but you can make a motion to whatever you'd like.
Okay. So I'd like to make a motion to continue. But in the meantime, I think the doctor needs to take some serious classes on record keeping and documentation. I would recommend at least 6 hours in addition to what he has to take for continuing med this year.
Okay, so that would be with a non-disciplinary advisory letter for what? And then
it sounded like hours. Continuing education. Right. Is that how we're going to resolve this issue?
Well, we're continuing it also. In the meantime, can we ask him to take the class?
No, we'd have to do one or the other. If we order non-disciplinary CE, that would dispose of the matter. But you can, in the interim, continue this and refer the file to Department of Health Services.
Can we do that and also request copies of the records to the other patients? Like there were 20 total, but 16 he lost. But are the four were that are left?
There was 36 total.
Well,
I didn't
the records that he said that he didn't have, right?
All of them? He didn't have any of them. Can we request records, his patients, copies of his patients' records to see if he's maintaining proper records?
So you mean like a random audit of mm-hmm. of how many patient records?
Six.
We could, but that would need to be under a disciplinary
or under
agreement.
A probationary order.
Yeah, or an interim consent agreement for probation.
Okay. So move to continue. The motion.
The board can still subpoena that information, and you know if he has any of it, he's required to turn it over.
Make the motion to continue this at another meeting, the next meeting?
Well, not the next one. It's going to be on Ms. Vanderveen in the juggling act. That is her job to put people on our agenda and when she can do that.
We can do June.
Okay. Go away.
Okay. Okay. So we have a motion to continue to give Dr. Guthrie a chance to demonstrate his 2019 continuing education compliance. Is there a second?
Oh, second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to call for the question to continue to the June meeting. And those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay. The four ayes have it. Dr. Guthrie, we're going to continue this. You need to get your 2019 CE into us, okay?
All right.
Mr. Chair, this is Dr. Knopf. Do we need to make a motion to forward it to the Department of Health as well?
Yes.
Yeah. I would like to make the motion to forward this to the Department of Health, Marijuana Services, for their review as well.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes mm-hmm. have it, and it will be forwarded to the Department of Health Services, Medical Marijuana. Okay, that concludes tab 7. Dr. Guthrie, if you have any questions, you can contact staff on Monday or next week.
Okay, so I'm done, right? I'm done here?
You're done, yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay, we're going to go on to tab number 8, which is, tab number 8 is Dr. Dean Michelizio.
Would the board allow a 5-minute comfort break?
Oh, yes. The time is 10:06, and we're going to go on a 10-minute break, and we will resume the open meeting around 10:15 or 10:16. Okay, the time is 10:16. We're back in open session in a matter of Dr. Dean Michelizio, which is tab number 8. Case 2021-003. Dr. Michelizio, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Are you represented with Ms. Stark today?
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Garina. Good morning.
Hi. Welcome. Okay. Ms. Vanderveen, can I get a board brief, please?
Yes, the allegations are making false statements, a danger to the health, safety, and welfare to the public, advertising pain-free specialists, misleading advertising, superiority, and failure to renew chiropractic license in a timely manner.
Okay, and is the complainant with the initials KJ, are you present? Calling out to KJ, I know that this was retracted at some point, but if you're here, I'd like you to introduce yourself by your initials. Okay, Ms. Stark, do you have anything to say to the allegations?
Yeah, I'll make a brief opening, and I also want to note, too, that the next complaint has many of the same allegations, so I'm going to kind of try to consolidate my statements and address those issues that are in the second complaint right now as well. So I'm going to try to be concise. So with regard to the false advertising issues, as the board members will recall, there has been several interviews with Dr. Michelizio over the past 2 years related to his website and his advertising. The board members have discussed these issues extensively at 2 interviews related to a prior complaint. The board expressed concerns about some of the content or lack thereof on the website, and Dr. Michelizio has taken remedial measures to address those concerns. At the time that we were discussing the issues related to the prior complaint, these additional allegations of, you know, advertising pain-free specialist superiority were not raised in those discussions. The website has not changed since that time, other than to add language that we believe that the board indicated they wanted to see on the website. And so, you know, there was quite, like I said, quite an extensive review of the website and advertising, and there was no mention of these other allegations. We have previously represented to this board, and this remains true, that Dr. Michelizio is willing to make changes to the website should the board request that or require that. But again, after the last case, we believe we had provided the updates and changes the board wanted to see based on those prior discussions. And then I'll just briefly address the issue of the burns with this patient, KJ. The investigative report notes that there are no substantiating documents or pictures submitted by the complainant to corroborate the alleged burns. And we did provide patient records, which included before and after photos of the patient, and there are no burns that are visible in these series of photographs. And then I will briefly let Dr. Michelizio address the issue of the failure to renew chiropractic license in a timely manner. Dr. Michelizio.
Hi, good morning.
Okay.
I actually went through the website and renewed on, I believe it was October 5th. And the way your website, it looks like it's changed. It's either confusing or it's just odd. It looks like you paid when you get to the end of it. It looks like you paid. And the only time I found out that I hadn't paid was when I got a notice on, I think it was like right at the beginning of February, that I was suspended for non-payment. Wait a minute, I already paid this. And it also, it allows you to print out what essentially is your renewal certificate at the time, but you think you've paid. So as soon as I found out that, you know, you didn't pay, I emailed and I called, and I had the staff member walk me through it so that whatever I did wrong or what was confusing was not confusing. And I renewed it as soon as I knew that there was a problem.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Michelizio. So my concern is I feel like we, you know, we've heard past testimony on similar complaints regarding your laser lipo and your advertising. You know, in some stages of this, we were considering it a little bit of a he said, she said. But we're seeing multiple complaints with the same substance. You know, we're getting people that are complaining that, you know, you're advertising as Dr. Dean, you know, not with your full name. You're hard to track down. You know, these kind of shoddy measurements that are happening, you know, promises to lose 2 to 5 inches on the first day. Somebody does the light tape measurement and tries to kind of convince the patients that they lost weight somehow when they don't feel like they did. You know, we're seeing this over and over again, and it's not looking good for you with that.
Can I bring this into a little bit of context?
What do you say to that? Do you still have a Twitter account that's advertising you as Dr. Dean and not Dr. Michelizio?
I don't have a Twitter account.
No Twitter account, huh?
No.
Okay.
Now, I think we need to put this in a little bit of context, okay? I've been doing this for 10 years. We see anywhere around 3,000 new people a year, okay? And if you put that in context, there's been roughly 30,000 new people that have gone through this, all right? And we've got three people that part of my job has now become managing people's expectations. Most people have realistic expectations, and we try our best to get that to make sure that the people that we take in are going to have realistic expectations. But every so often, somebody gets through. And I think there's been two or three complaints. If you count that against 30,000 people that we've actually treated with this, it's minuscule. I mean, it's not. I understand what you're thinking because while there's been a couple of people complaining, but it is such a volume of people that come through this and are thrilled. There's a couple of. BS, the patient BS, which is the latest one, she was happy as a clam, okay? The only problem she had was when she showed up to her second appointment, she showed up 45 minutes late because we see people one after the other, and they have this in writing. They have our cancellation.
All
our
right, hold on. If you're talking about... If you're talking about the next case, we're going to get to that.
Okay, all right.
And that complainant is here and is going to testify that. And so we're going to treat that separately. We're talking about
KJ.
Cap number 8, okay?
Okay, all right.
And Dr. Michelizio and Dr. Green, I could just add to, I think most, if not all of these complaints are related to financial disputes that the patients may have, and then they subsequently file a board complaint as sort of a means of getting leverage on obtaining a refund has been the pattern here.
Okay. So, you know, one of our allegations is a superiority claim in advertising. What do you say to that?
I don't believe there's anything on there about superiority. Everything on that website comes basically from the manufacturer. I won't say everything, but most of it comes directly from the manufacturer. And it's used on multiple docs offices around the country. But I don't believe there's anything about superiority or specialist.
Okay. I'm going to let my board members ask you some questions. Board members, please introduce yourself to the record before you ask the question. Anyone?
Yes, Dr. Dean, this is Dr. Knopf.
Hi, Dr.
We've, like Dr. Greeno said, we've had a lot of similar discussions over this over the past couple of years. And I know in previous testimonies, we've talked about, are you operating in a chiropractic operation, do you take responsibility in building that doctor-patient relationship? We talked about ownership of the entity And at one point you said that you were selling it and you were just going to be a manager. But for all intents and purposes, for what I'm still seeing in front of me, what has stayed really consistent is it looks like you still are an owner or a financial beneficiary of PZ Laser Lipo. And you still are consistently establishing that doctor-patient relationship. Is that correct?
The whole doctor-patient relationship thing is confusing with you guys. Okay, this is a device that has to be according to the FDA. It's a prescription device. It can either be prescribed by an MD, a DO, DC, or a DOM. My job in this is basically the medical director. The people that that provide the services are estheticians and laser technicians, which work under their own licenses. Okay, my role in this is to educate them and qualify them as a candidate. And in addition to just, and this has been more since this whole pandemic thing, I think we've had more problems, and I don't know if it's just because people have been shut up in the house for too long. I have no idea.
Okay, Dr. McAlesio, this is Dr. Guarino. Just for respective time, I need you to answer very simply some of these questions. You can yes or no, or you can affirm any way you want to, but we cannot listen to 15 minutes of testimony that we've already heard.
Yeah, so I'll form it in two questions, and it can be yes or no. Are you still owner or part owner of the Laser Lipo company? And when did the ownership transition?
In the fall.
This last fall?
Yep.
Of 2021? Okay.
Yep.
Are you an owner of a chiropractic office?
No, I'm really not practicing as a chiropractor right now, as far as what we would traditionally call chiropractic.
But do you still maintain a chiropractic office?
No.
And so the services that are provided for this lipo service, where is that provided out of?
It's provided in a suite in Paradise Valley.
Okay. We have a couple of your websites and listings pulled from various places around the internet. Do you agree that in some cases, PZ Laser Lipo, in some of your advertising, you say there is no pain?
Yes, and that comes directly from the manufacturer.
Have you ever had patients experience pain?
No. It's classified as
and
a
do you
cold
feel
late.
Like,
yes.
And do you feel like any of the advertisements that come from the manufacturer automatically comply with every state rule and regulation and how it's being used?
Yeah, I think we're in compliance. If we weren't in compliance and you wanted us to change, because we've been through this website multiple times in the past couple of years. And if there was any changes that you guys requested, I made sure it happened.
It looks like there's still some things up on the website. That's all the questions I have for now.
Okay, and for the record, we have PVLaserLipo.com as recent as January 27, 22 in our board materials that have these advertising violations that we're speaking of. Other board members, do you have questions for Dr. McAlesio? Ms. Powell?
Quick question. This is Angela Powell. Doctor, do you meet with the patient at the first visit and subsequent visits?
No. I screen them via the phone through a phone consultation.
So you never actually talk to them on their first visit?
No, unless the the esthetician has, they've raised a question that the esthetician can't answer, and they'll tie me in by a speakerphone. But for the most part,
do you check in with them? Do you check in with them throughout the course of the care plan that you establish?
Usually at the end. Usually at the end. I'll review their results.
Thank you.
Dr. Dean, I've got a follow-up. If you're not meeting with them initially, how are you making an accurate prescription for the services if it's based off of a prescription from an MD, DO, or DC?
There's just a couple of key criteria, all right? We establish the type. Basically, if they have subcutaneous fat, and people can basically pinch what if they've got the areas that they don't like, if it's subcutaneous fat, they assess it themselves. And there's a list of contraindications that I go through with them, aside from obviously teaching them.
So when do you go through those lists of contraindications with them if you're not doing the initial visit?
Well, no, I do it on the phone. And it's also in all of, if you'll see, it's in all of their paperwork. They go through.
Do you have that documented that they don't have any of those contraindications based off of your phone consultation with them?
Yes, there should be a piece of paper in the files with my assessment with my signature on it.
Ms. Powell?
One more question. This is Angela Powell. Doctor, do you have a list of meds from the patient, a written list from all of these? They write down all the meds they're taking. And do you review them against the contraindications?
Of course.
Or someone else in the office do that?
No, I do it. Of course.
At what point do you do that?
Well,
when do you do that?
You know, one of the last questions I ask them, and I go, are you on any prescription medications? They're either going to go yes or no. And if they say yes, I go, what are you taking and what for? And I have the list of contraindications in front of me as far as the meds.
So every file will have that.
And every file
will have that med list. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Dr. Michelizio, it's Dr. Guarino again. Do you maintain the TVLaserLipo.com website?
No.
That's your website?
I don't maintain it.
Okay. Ms. Kennel, do we have evidence of a Twitter account?
Yes, sir, we do. Alyssa has it up on her computer.
Okay. So, Dr. Michelizio, you said you don't have a Twitter account, and we've got your Twitter account that our interim executive director has got up on her computer right now. So what do you say to that?
Well, we can't see that. We've not been provided any copies of a Twitter account. So
I can't even remember. Well, since she has it up in front of her, when was the last, was there a tweet made? Or has it ever been used?
The last tweet was February 4th. It's listed as, the name is listed as Dr. Dean, and the handle is at TV Laser Lipo.
Are you you're talking about Instagram?
Again, it's hard for us to answer questions about something we can't see. We don't have it in front of us.
Yes, I can share it. I will. Yep, I can put it in the Zoom meeting. Someone just look like it.
So are you talking about an Instagram account or a Twitter account?
No, it's a Twitter account, and she's going to share it with you right now. Be able to see it on your desk. Is there another Dr. Dean besides you?
No, but February 4th of what year?
That would be of this year.
The only thing I can say is maybe it's tied in with Facebook, because these are relatively recent ads that we have run. I don't go on Twitter, but I can see that this is a Twitter account. It must be tied together. I must have signed up. I see what you're talking about. I must have signed up for Twitter a while ago, and it must be tied in with Facebook and Instagram, because that's the only real advertising we do. So somehow.
So who is in charge of your advertising that you're telling us you don't even, you're not even aware of this?
It's actually the new owners. But it must be tied in together with Facebook and Instagram. That's all I can think of. Because I don't,
okay.
I rarely don't go on Twitter.
All right.
But these are definitely our ads.
This is Dr. Knopf. If you're saying that this feels like it's tied into Instagram and Facebook, would we make the assumption that what we're seeing here is what we would see on those other platforms?
Yes. At least from what I just said.
Would that be tied to Dr. Dean as well? Since you seem to know those platforms, does it appear under your handle on those other social sites?
I'd have to take a look, but I know it's PV Laser Lipo. I don't know if my name and gets tied into it, but I know it's PV Laser Lipo.
So if you saw your name tied to it, would it surprise you that it was there? Did you not give consent for that, or is that something that you would be okay with?
Well, it's part of the practice, so I'd be okay with it.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Okay, this is Dr. Garino. I'm going to make a motion that we continue the investigation in a matter of formal interview.
Second the motion.
Okay, second by Ms. Palm.
And what is the potential violations of law and factual allegations that we're moving to formal interview?
So allegations of making false statements. Advertising violations and misleading advertising allegations, also 3 and 4. And then number 5 for failing to renew its license timely.
And that's based on the potential violations of law stated under those allegations?
Yes.
In the report?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of moving to a formal interview with this tab, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there any opposed? Okay. Hearing none. Dr. McAlesio, we're going to continue this matter, and you'll get a chance under oath to explain all the things that you tried to explain to us today in another meeting. But for now, we're going to go to the next tab, which is also you, and I believe you're also represented by Ms. Stark. And that is tab number 92022-024. And I believe we have the complainant present with the initials SBB. Can you please come on up and have a seat? To protect your identity, we're going to refer to you only by initials, and so you can do the same. You don't have to introduce yourself by your full name. Hi, welcome. Coming today?
Good morning.
Can you introduce your initials for the record?
SBB.
Thank you. All right. Can I get a board brief, please?
Improper building, making false statements, misleading advertising, superiority, pain-free, specialist, unprofessional conduct, failure to maintain adequate records, failure to renew chiropractic license in a timely manner, failure to provide documentation for continuing education for 2020 and 2021.
Okay. We'll start with Ms. Stark. Do you have any opening statements or comments you'd like to say about the allegations before us today?
I'll just reiterate the same comments I previously made about advertising and making false statements, and then note that there is a billing record that we provided as part of the investigation. So this was a very short-term patient, and there's one sheet here that goes through the billing and the payments. And so I think that's all the remarks I have on that. And anything Dr. McLesia would like to add?
We've been through this. We don't make false statements. We've been through this. And I think I mentioned that any of these complaints, the two or three out of 30,000 people, it's usually somebody that either had unrealistic expectations and wanted their money back. That's usually what it comes down to. And they're using this as leverage.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you to our complainant today, SBB. Do you have anything that you would like to say? We read the board materials and we read your complaint, but is there anything you'd like to say additionally, or would you like to make an opening statement? Tell us about your experience with Dr. Dean.
Yes. First of all, the doctor called me. I didn't click on any advertisement. He called me and he left a voicemail and said that I was interested in something. And I was like, I know I didn't do that. So I was like, how did they get my information? Which is why I called him back. And I asked him and he said, oh, you came to our website. And I said, no, I didn't, because I wasn't seeking weight loss or anything like that. So he said, well, do you mind if I take a minute to tell you about our program? I was like, yeah, but I would like to know how you got my information, because I only have a Facebook account, but I'm rarely on there. I'm on there just to see my grandkids that still live in Florida. So he told me about this red laser, and I said, what is your name? And he told me his first name, and he didn't say that it was his last name. He said, this is who he is. I said, okay. And you, where are your offices? He said he has several. I said, okay. Only at the end of the conversation did he say, this is considered a consultation. I didn't ask for a consult, because I wasn't looking for weight loss or anything like that. So I said, well, what, you know, how much does this all cost? He goes, oh, you know, everybody, you know, wants to know how much it costs, but they don't think about the benefits. I said, just so you know, I'm a nurse. So my mind is always thinking when someone's trying to convince me of something, and then the final bomb is, how much is it? So he says, well, he goes, don't think of the money as being so much, because it's an investment. I'm like, okay. So he tells me about this red light. He goes, listen, if you don't see any results, we don't take any payments. You will be, you know, you can walk out of there and never see us again. He says, the only thing we require is a $100 schedule fee to hold your place. I said, well, you know, I'll go see what this is about, because sometimes I have bariatric patients or patients that are looking for things. And if this is legit, I have something in my repertoire to refer them to, but I would still tell them, you know, go to your primary and see if this is something that you could benefit from. So I made the appointment. He told me how much it was, and I said, that's a lot. He never disclosed that he was a chiropractor. He just said doctor and his first name, which I later found out is his first name, not his last name. And I had to do my own research going through the government websites to find out who was the operating officer of the establishment. He also did not disclose to me that he was not the one performing the treatment. It is random people that I don't know how he convinces them to do it. But as far as the red laser light, nowhere on their website does it state that an esthetician can perform this. Under the Board of Chiropractors, it says if a chiropractor prescribes a treatment, it must be him that performs it. I've never met him. This is the first time I've ever seen him. Never seen his face. And then I find out from the technician that the patients don't see him. So that was a little concerning for me, because if you're telling someone that they could lose 2 to 5 inches, and he's also stating that they could lose up to 5 to 7 pounds, which he verbalizes. He doesn't put on that website, but this is what they tell you on the phone. So there again, you're going to have people, he say, she say, because he's telling them things on the phone that he doesn't put on the website, and then none of it proves to be true in person. I had one treatment, which is the initial one, and I went in, and of course she went through, I guess, what is their normal assessment. And I said to her, you're doing an awful loose tape measure. Immediately, because I know. I mean, when I treat somebody and measurements are a requirement, I know how to do a tape measure. I've also had tape measures done on me when I go to the gym. So when she did the tape measure, I said, well, that's kind of loose. And she's like, no, I don't want to hurt you. You know, we just take down a baseline. I said, well, I don't want my baseline to look like I'm bigger than what I am. You know, remember, this is all in person, so there's nothing being recorded. So she's also writing it in pencil. I said, well, why are you writing in pencil? Because pencil can be erased. Whereas if you have it in pen and you make any errors, you're going to have to initial it, you know, what we do in the medical field if we're going to omit something. So she said, no, it's just for baseline. Doesn't really mean anything. We just want to show you how much you lose. I said, well, you're starting out with bigger numbers. She goes, no. Everything is all accurate. So I'm saying to myself in my head, Sonia, shut your mouth. Just go through the process because you want to see what the end result is. Well, before I get on the table, she says, oh, I need your payment. I said, what payment? She said, you have to pay before the treatment. I said, well, the doctor said, if I'm not satisfied, there's no treatment. There's no payment. And that's also what the website says. And she goes, no, we have to take the payment, because then if you do lose it, then we are entitled to the money. I said, well, that should come at the end. Well, that's not what they did. So I paid with two separate credit cards, well, bank cards. Because I was in the house buying process, and of course you're not supposed to make substantial purchases. So I broke it up so that it wouldn't show that I used so much out of this account, and it wouldn't be like a question when it came to underwriting. So I got on the table. I said, it's freezing in here. And she goes, oh, yeah, well, we try to keep it a little cool. So I'm trying to understand, if you're using a hot therapy, why would you be in a cold room? I mean, the treatment would have to be a lot hotter in order for the treatment to be effective. Now, I'm not a doctor. At this point, I'm just a client trying to see if this is an effective treatment that really is not a scam. I get on the table, and can I use my hands for the show?
Sure.
Okay, so there's this, like a heat lamp. And let's just say this is me on my side on the table. And the lamp is all the way up here. So you have all this room air in between. I don't feel anything. Nothing. I just lay there. I'm like, okay. She said, well, turn to the other side. And so it was 15 minutes in like three areas that I can recall. And I get up and she does a tape measure. And she goes, oh my goodness, you lost more than we expected. I said, well, you did those tape measures pretty tight this time. And I said, are you sure that's safe? Because if anybody was really losing the numbers that you say, let's just say somebody had a cardiac issue. Do you know CPR? I mean, do you know, if they stand up and they have an orthostatic change, are you, as an esthetician, prepared to deliver medical care to them or medical intervention? How is 911 going to get here in time? So she didn't like my questioning. At that point, Dr. McBlizio doesn't answer any more of my calls until, so what happened was, let me backtrack because I'm a little nervous, so forgive me.
Take your time.
So at this time, I'm like, well, I don't see the difference. The esthetician says, you won't. It's we that see the difference. Well, if I'm losing the fat, I should feel and notice the difference. You know, you're taking what I would do in the gym and compressing it into an hour visit. I'm thinking there should be a significant difference. They don't put you on a scale. They just do weight measure. But if I'm losing fat, that's going to show a significant difference. They don't do that. So I left. And I said, well, I would like to speak to the doctor. I did not sign. There's a paper that says if you're not satisfied that you, no, it's the paper says when you pay, you agree that you will not go to your financial institution and cancel the payment. I never signed that because I thought, if it's legit, why do you have this document to back you up to not be able to refund people if they're actually not satisfied? You take the payment, and on the website, if I may just pull it up, it says, lose 2 to 5 inches on your first full body procedure, or it's free. Period. I think that speaks for itself. If you do loose measurements and then you do tight measurements, you could manipulate that 2 to 5 inches. I could do it to myself if I want to deceive myself, you know. But they're doing this, charging people $500 a session. And what they're doing is, let me just say, it's not that I don't think that the red light could work. I believe they manipulate it so that it draws out treatments so they get more money. $500 an hour. I don't think anybody in this room is making $500 an hour on a session for anything. So $500 for 2 to 5 inches that you manipulate, and you're playing mind games with the clients to make them think something until they're out of this money. Then when they are on to you, you bring the lamp closer. But see, I never got that because I didn't go back for a second treatment. When I went back the second time, it was to talk to him, thinking he was going to be there, and he wasn't. I was there an hour early, I'm sorry. The second time when I went, they said I was late. I was not late. I was held up in traffic. I called her and she said, well, I don't have another patient until 9:30. I was there at 8:30. The appointment was at 8. And he said, well, we give you an hour and a half hour for, you know, just assessing you, and then an hour for the treatment. I said, well, it's 8:30. I was in the parking lot. She goes, well, the patient is already here. I said, well, they have a 9:30 and they're here at 8:30 and you can't do. You know, I said, well, where's the doctor? Well, he's not going to be here. So when I got home that evening, I got a late fee. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. They also keep your credit card information, which they're not supposed to do, and then they're charging you. Not billing you, actually debiting your account. So I made the next appointment. I came an hour early. They told me there was a patient there. I have pictures that show it was closed, pictures, a video to show her walking in and go, oh, Miss SB, you're here. I said, yeah, I've been here an hour. You guys said there was somebody before me, but there was nobody. So then I go and I said, listen, I just came because I went to see the doctor. Well, he's not here. I said, I know, and I've been calling him, and he's not been answering my calls. So she calls him, and I said, Dr. so-and-so, I said, is your last name such and such? And he's stunned. He goes, yeah. And I said, but why didn't you tell me that it was this? He said, well, everybody refers to me as this. But I don't want to refer to a doctor as his first name if I don't know him. I want to research and see what his background is, see what his ratings are, see what people are saying about him. And I was not afforded that. So naturally, I'm thinking this is a scam because he wasn't forthcoming. Secondly, he charged me when I did not get the benefits. And it was not about the money. It was about, first of all, how are you obtaining people's information to contact them? Convince them that they sought you out when you actually sought them out. Secondly, he says to me, well, if you're not satisfied, you could just have your money back. I said, okay, fine. The esthetician steps in. She goes, well, no. Well, I said, but I didn't come here to get treatment. I came here to talk to the doctor. And I said, and then these supplements, I said, you're putting people on a diet plus supplements that could have contraindicators to them. Because you are only talking to them on the phone. He never sees you. Unless the only way he could see you is if they have a camera in that office, which is not divulged to us. And you only take two pictures with your arms out and they say there's no headshot. So people never see you. But based on the testimony of him and his counsel, they took pictures of someone for whatever side effects they had, the burns or whatever. But they said those pictures are only for before and after, and they're for us to see, no one else. So my thing is, he's never there in person. He doesn't perform the treatment. He has people that, according to the red light therapy, should not even be performing this. It's supposed to be the doctor. There's no medical intervention if anything serious should happen at that time. And he kind of protects himself. He doesn't care about, you know, what you say, I didn't get the treatment. He cares about protecting that he doesn't lose his money.
Okay. Well, you unpacked a lot, and I appreciate that. You know, it really helps us to hear testimony from complainants. And my inclination, due to the similarities in the nature of this case with the last one, is that we're probably going to move at some point to formal interview. And at that time, we can decide if we want to take disciplinary action. We can't do that in today's meeting because it's under an initial action tab. But that said, while you're here and while you're testifying, I want to ask my board members if they have any specific questions for you, if you'll be so kind to answer, and we can start with Mr. Turbinson.
No questions.
Thank you, Dr. Knopf.
Yes, this is Dr. Knopf. I'll maybe just ask a question. During the what he called the consultation on the phone with you, do you remember him going over any reasons why you might be excluded from this program or contraindications? Did he review medications with you? Did he review any kind of conditions with you, according to what you can remember from?
He didn't ask. I divulged. When he was telling about it, I said, well, who is a candidate? He said, well, you have to meet certain criteria, you know, and I said, well, if you just are trying to lose in certain areas, you have to necessarily be obese. And he's like, no, not necessarily.
Okay.
So there wasn't any actual.
Did you go over any medications with him in that conversation that you're taking?
I did. I did tell him.
And did you divulge that on your own part?
I asked him, was this going to be a contraindicator to the red light? The problem is he prescribes niacin. He also prescribes dandelion root and milk thistle. And certain people, you don't know that until you come in. You don't know that till you come in. And then he puts you on a diet. And I said, well, it's really not the red light. It's the pills. But if you have medications that are contraindicated and you don't tell your primary or prescribing doctor, hey, I went such and such a place, this is what they gave me, you could find yourself in a...
And thank you for that. Can you go over, just from your recollection, since we don't have it in the file, did you have to go through any kind of intake paperwork when you first arrived to the office? And do you remember just in general what was in that paperwork?
I brought the wrong folder. My apologies. But yes, it was telling you about red cell therapy. His name was not on it. It's telling you how the red light causes fat to be excreted from the cells into your system and then out into your waste. But these are things that I found you can pull off the internet.
Right. Okay. That's all the questions that I have at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Powell, do you have any questions?
Yes, thank you. This is Angela Powell. Just for further clarification, there was no health history information taken at this first encounter or prior to your showing up at the office that discusses your health issues, your if your family had health issues, anything related, anything that would seem like a history of your health.
I don't know if I understand the question.
A health history, you know what I mean by that?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Did they take a health history?
No.
Okay. So this is not a venue for cross-examination, but I want to give Ms. Stark a response to what she's heard, if you have any, and then our board will deliberate and decide what we're going to do.
I just have one response on the last point of discussion. There is a health history questionnaire that I'm holding in my hand that was signed by complainant on November the 9th, 2021. We provided that to the investigator as part of her complete records that were subpoenaed. So I just wanted to note that, and then I'll let Dr. McAlesio speak to the actual version of events in a concise quick way. Dr. McAlesio.
Hi. She contacted us, okay? She answered an ad through Facebook. She filled out her information. She listed her goals as increased flexibility. Do you need prep prior to? She gave us her contact information. When people reach out to us, we don't blindly reach out to people. They have to fill out a form and send us their information, which is what she did. Okay. I called her and took her through a consult, which I've done thousands of times that I've explained to you guys that there's part of it is a little bit of a health history. Some of it's patient education, having them self-assess the type of fat that they have, as well as go through contraindications. All of that was gone through with her. When she came in, our estheticians do not play with the tape measure. They just don't do that. There's no reason to do that. Okay. She lost, I think it was 7 3/4 inches. And the paperwork that she said that she did not fill out. Okay. She filled out that she was said she was satisfied and was happy with the treatment. Okay. There is also something that the technician brought up to us that she had, when she came in, she said that she was loopy. And I think this is all in our response. She was loopy and that she had just come from a dental surgery appointment and she shouldn't be driving, or she made some statements along those lines. Okay. So based on the way she presented, the treatment that we use is really safe. It would not hurt her. And the esthetician chose to treat her. Okay. But she was impaired when she got there. Okay. And she was happy as a clam. She's been happy as a clam until she actually showed up about 45 minutes late. And we're not trying to send people down the road. Okay. But we do see people one after the other. And it's a pretty strict either no-show or same-day cancel policy. And they know it. They fill it out. She filled out the forms. She signed it. She was fully aware of that. When we couldn't treat her, she rescheduled for the next day. But she wasted our time. So she was charged what everybody else gets charged, that either same day cancels or just doesn't show up. And that's when she lost her mind. Okay. And she made all of these, she started making, and I do not return calls. Okay. If she did not call me multiple times. Okay. If she did, I would have called her back. But she was out of control about the $50. Okay. And when she came in for her makeup appointment, which was on the next day, we thought she came in to get treated. No, she came in for a fight. And that's when I got tied into this whole thing. And she was, her speech was a little bit slurred. I don't know if she was impaired or not. Okay. But she was extremely aggressive with the tech. And it was so out of control compared to what a response to something that, you know, you're not happy with getting charged, which you agreed to get charged with, but you're making all these other accusations. I ran a quick background check on her while I was being tied in on the phone, and she has some aggravated assault with deadly weapon charges in Florida. And I wanted her out of that office as quick as possible. I didn't want to risk our tech. We just wanted to get her money back and get her out. But pretty much most of what she said has not been true. We don't play with the numbers. There's no reason to. The technology we use is brilliant. It gets results, and there's thousands of people that we treated, and they're happy, and they refer people. Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. So, board members, you've heard the testimony today. Go ahead.
Is there any way I could just make a statement?
Go ahead.
I
need you to be brief, though, because we have a bullet.
I don't drink, and I don't smoke. I did not come impaired. I had Novocaine in my tooth. That was it. The second time I came, I was neither impaired in any way. And I talked clearly and specifically. He did not answer, but when she called him, he answered. You also just disclosed that you did a background check. I have a federal level background. Clearly, I couldn't work in anybody's prison or hospital if I was a danger to society or my patients. So he never divulged that. And if he's doing that to clients, that is against their knowledge. He is failing to disclose that he's doing any such thing.
Thank you. Okay. So, board members, the decision right now is, are we going to handle this under initial action, or are we going to move this to continue the investigation under a formal interview and maybe combine it with the previous tab?
Yeah. This is Dr. Knopf. I'd make the motion to continue this to formal interview and combine this with the previous tab that we have in place. Additionally, I'd just like to make sure, I believe there's claims that we had this patient's specific information and records, and I just want to make sure if we do have those, that we have those prior to the formal interview.
We have what they sent in, and you should have.
I believe Ms. Stark said that we should have had patient records for this specific tab. For patient SB, is that correct, Ms. Stark, or did I misunderstand that?
No, that's correct. That's correct.
All right, we'll double check that and make sure you.
And what are the potential violations and factual allegations? Which allegations would you like to move?
There were seven.
Yep. We'll go with allegations: 2, making false statements; 3, misleading advertising; 4, unprofessional conduct; 5, failure to maintain adequate records; 6, failure to renew chiropractic license in a timely manner. And I believe even from the last tab, we're still missing 2020 and 2021 continuing education. So I would also include allegation number 7, failure to provide documentation for continuing education.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, any further discussion, board members? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question to move to formal interview. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it.
Before we proceed, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Can we, while Dr. McClusio is still on the line, can we clear up the matter or have a discussion around the matter of the non-disciplinary that you all issued back in March of last year and then made changes to in October of last year regarding his non-disciplinary for CEs for the 3 hours of jurisprudence?
Dr. McAlesia, did you take those?
There is no course available to meet that. There's just not available. Between Sarah and I, we've spent hours trying to find something. There's two places on your website. There's two courses on the website that are no longer offered. And I think they're from back in 2015. They're no longer offered. I spoke with the law offices that do that. There's a few out there that aren't in compliance with Arizona CEs. There was a 2-hour one, but of course you guys estimated you wanted 3 hours, but then you amended it to 2. But even though that still wasn't an Arizona approved course, When I went back, when you said it, would you take the two, I went back and they no longer offered it. And then your staff said, well, here, why don't you read the law and take the test? And I read the law, took the test, got an 87 something. So I passed, but apparently that wasn't good enough.
And to be clear, we have not ever received an amended order from the October 2021 meeting that amended the requirement to allow him to take the two-hour course. We didn't receive a copy of that, but we still went through and continued to look for a course that would satisfy that requirement. Again, we looked through the entire course catalog on the website. There were two law firms that I was aware that previously offered jurisprudence courses that no longer offer it. There is another company called Chiropractic College that offers LifeWest CE, Laws of Ethics of Chiropractic. It is not approved by the Arizona Board. It's approved by many other states. So again, we had originally reached out to board staff for recommendations on what to do. That recommendation was not sufficient to meet the requirements. So we're just not really sure what to do at this point. And again, we never did get a copy of the updated order that was voted on in the October session.
Thank you. So Ms. Vanderveen, where are we with that? Was that a non-disciplinary order?
That was a non-disciplinary order. Okay. And that was kind of the reason I was asking is it falls within that transition of executive directors, deputy directors.
Right.
We've been trying to codify that in our record keeping.
Okay. So that'll be another agenda item on another day?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. That concludes your tabs today, Dr. Michelizio, and we'll see you on another day for a formal interview.
Okay.
All right. And thank you for your testimony today to our complainant.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody need a quick break again? Okay, yes.
Yes.
So we'll take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back around 11:30.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Way
that I could
JM. Okay, this is Dr. Shaw here. Sorry, I've never done a Zoom before, so I'm trying to figure out all the controls.
Hi, what are your initials? Is that JM?
Dr. Shaw.
Oh, Dr. Shaw. Okay, we skipped your tab for right now, where you're going to be at next up. So hold tight and go ahead and mute yourself again.
Okay.
Okay, so we do not have your 2019 continuing education credits or your 2020 were not provided. Did you submit that to us?
Yes.
Do you have that information?
2020 and 19?
19 and 20.
Give me just a moment, please.
Okay, just confirming with staff, we don't have 19 or 20.
We have 8 hours in 2019, and we have 2 hours in, 4 hours, excuse me, in 2021. So he doesn't have a complete set for either year.
Thank you. All right, so are you here today saying that you've done all the work and you can submit that to us? And
yes.
So at least 12 hours in each year?
Yes.
Okay. And can you explain why we don't have all of it at this point? We've been here a couple of times already.
I'm getting like a double reverb here. Oh, I can't hear.
I'll lean back a little. Maybe is that better?
No. Okay. What was the question?
Why haven't you given us your continuing education credits, all of them, for 2019 and 2020.
I submitted it immediately.
Okay. You're saying you did and we don't have it. So
I believe that.
Okay. Okay. And then on your 2020 renewal, this year? Question 18 is asked if you're currently under investigation. You answered no. Clearly you are. You've been before us. It's not resolved yet.
What question is that?
That's on your renewal for your license in 2022.
I was under the impression you had to be, found guilty or something before you could.
I didn't hear what you said.
I took it a different way, the under investigation, I guess.
Well, investigation.
I thought it was an inquiry.
Investigation. It doesn't mean that a decision is made. It means that there's a case open. You've been in front of us. It hasn't been resolved yet. That's what that question means.
Well, until today, there's been nothing but meetings to see if there was going to be a meeting. I mean, I don't mean that facetiously, but I don't understand. The way it was worded, I mean, clearly I'm not going to say you guys, if you're investigating me, that you're not investigating me. That's just ridiculous. Not like,
okay.
I didn't know this was an investigation. I don't know the exact terminology used for that, but the way I read it based on the questions before and after it, this doesn't seem to be an investigation to me. This is a trial or something.
So your testimony is you didn't understand the question.
I understood it differently than it apparently implies.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Slobodnik?
This is Dr. Knopf. Dr. Slobodnik, do you have proof that you sent notice to this patient for your moving? You said that you notified everyone that you were moving offices or moving space. Do you have any kind of proof that you can show that you've contacted this patient? He was part of your list that you sent to?
No, it was by, I did it by text. I didn't do it by mail.
Okay, so you text, and was that from just like a personal cell phone that you texted, or?
It's kind of like the same way I get my notice for the board. It comes on email. I have to look at it before I even know it came to me. I don't really get mail.
You don't get mail?
No, I do, but we've had a really big problem when we moved the mail. There's another address exactly like mine, half a mile up the street. It has been a nightmare for the last 2 years.
Okay. But your testimony is that this is one of the patients that you would have notified moving offices.
I did notify him.
Okay.
That's how he found me.
I'm sorry.
That's how he found me.
That's how he found you?
Well, yeah, I came there.
Maybe
how could he come to my office if he didn't know where it was? And that was on
gotcha. Okay. So after you moved locations, he showed up another time for another visit.
Correct.
Okay. Now I'm on the same page. Thank you. That's all the questions I have at this time.
Okay. Other board members?
No.
Okay. So we're still missing continuing education. So we can continue this to a formal interview and give them a chance to submit that information or take other action. If we can deal with it today in a non-disciplinary matter, but we still don't have all the right information, so I have to continue this.
Mr. Chair, just a quick question maybe for our board. Is the current status on administrative suspension currently?
He's currently now active, but I believe he paid his late fee on the 1st of this month. So he would have been practicing without a license since December 31st.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Slobodnik, can you confirm
yes.
You paid that on the 1st of this month?
Yes.
Okay, and did you see patients between January 1st and the time of payment?
Yes, I believe when I sent it in, okay, you know when taxes come out and the 15th is on Saturday or something, they generally give you till Monday to do it. December is tough. Patients are spending money on Christmas, not on chiropractic. And when the first rolled around, I didn't even have the money to do it. So I did it on Monday, and I paid the fees, and I didn't pay a late fee. And I sent a question saying, I hope this is enough. Let me know if it's not. And nobody got back to me. The next time I was notified was about 2 months later that I didn't get. I know these things that come in the mail, they take a couple of weeks. So I was practicing as if everything was normal. Everything was okay. It used to be when we were mailed this stuff, you know, it took several weeks to get it. Me, it did.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Okay, so, yeah.
Can I make one minor point of clarification? The notification was emailed. It was not mailed. They were emailed out on February 2nd.
Yeah, for the late.
The admin suspension.
Right.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay, so he would have gotten that right away. There would be no several-week delay.
I didn't hear what she said.
So the notice of that he was on administrative suspension was served to you via email. And you read that email?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So
maybe.
So when you got that email, we've been through this before.
Oh.
You were aware that you were on administrative suspension, and you saw some patients anyway, and you testified in the past that you didn't have the money. We don't have any statutes that allow somebody to not pay their licensing fee on time and continue to practice.
Sir, I assumed it was going to be okay because I didn't hear from anybody. I sent a note along with it saying to please contact me if you need the late fee. Nobody, I got nothing until about 2 months later. I assumed everything was fine. I didn't want to pay a late fee. It was like Monday was the 3rd or the 2nd or whatever. And that's when it was sent.
Okay.
It's
so, board members, how do you want to continue?
This is Dr. Knopf. We'll forward this to a formal interview with allegations of practicing on a suspended license, failure to complete continuing education, unprofessional conduct, and noncompliance with subpoena.
Okay, that's attached conclusions of law. Is there a second?
I second.
Can I
ask? Okay, Mr. Turbinson, second. So any further discussion, board members? Okay. I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of continuing the investigation to formal interview, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay. The board has voted to continue this on another day. You're still missing your continuing education requirement.
Yeah,
you can contact board staff on another day on Monday, if you like, and ask them what happened today if you don't understand what just happened.
It's here. I just, when people are watching me, I can't work on my computer. I can't do stuff. I get nervous. But I have one thing to add, please, if I could, before we do this. I didn't work once I got that thing in the mail.
We're done.
And then
we heard the testimony. We've taken action. If you've got continuing ed, get it into staff and make sure that they have it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go out of order to tab number 14, which is the weather to open, and Dr. Margaret Colucci.
Hi, good morning.
And do we have Ms. Carvis?
Yes.
Okay, are you representing Ms. Colucci?
I am, and I apologize if there is background noise. I'm currently sitting in the San Bernardino courthouse in California. Because I'm in a jury trial, so I apologize for background noise.
Okay. Ms. Vanderveen, can you give us a brief why this is on a weather to open for us?
Yes. Dr. Colucci answered yes to question 18 on her 2022 renewal application, stating that the Nevada Board of Chiropractor has a current investigation against her license.
Okay. And I appreciate her honesty filling out the renewal application. So, Ms. Carvis, what do you say to that?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Arena, members of the board. As Dr. Colucci and the executive director of the Nevada board indicated, the Nevada board process is vastly different from Arizona. It is a completely confidential process unless and until the board decides to forward someone to a hearing for discipline. Dr. Colucci is the president of the Nevada Board of Chiropractic Association or Nevada Board of Chiropractic. She did consult with them as to whether or not she should notify this board of the complaint against her in response to 18. Despite the process, out of an abundance of caution, she did notify this board when she filled out her renewal. The executive director of the Nevada board, Julie Strandberg, also responded to this board indicating that because the process was confidential, that they couldn't provide any more information. We anticipate that the complaint in Nevada will be dismissed with no basis to proceed. And given the fact that it's just currently under investigation and that Dr. Colucci did what she was supposed to do, which was say yes to the question, but that there isn't any action against her license and we don't anticipate any action in the fact that we coupled with the fact that we can't share any information about the Nevada process, we would ask that the board not open a complaint in Arizona unless and until such time in the unlikely event that the Nevada board decides to issue some sort of discipline against Dr. Colucci, at which time, of course, you would promptly notify this board.
Okay, thank you. So, board members, what's your pleasure? Do you, we have a couple of options. We can open a complaint and then stay it until the Nevada board makes some kind of a conclusion, or we could not open a complaint and take no action and wait until they report back to us, and that would be part of the information database, right, that would be reported, and it would be on our radar at that point if there was adjustment against her.
This is Dr. Knopf. I guess my preference would be at this point to take no action.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay. So the board has voted to take no action at this point. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking me out of order. I really appreciate the accommodation.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to back to tab number 10 with Dr. Noel Shaw. Dr. Shaw, can you hear us now? Okay, Dr. Shaw calling out again. You need to unmute yourself, say hello. Dr. Shaw, we still can't hear you. Okay, we're going to go to tab number 12, which is a matter of Dr. James Suba. Dr. Suba, are you present? Calling out to Dr. Suba again, are you present? Unmute yourself, say hello.
This is Dr. Shaw, is that who you're after?
Oh, Dr. Shaw, hello.
Hello. Sorry, I had to take a risk.
Board members, back to tab number 10. We have Dr. Shaw. And can I get a board brief, please?
The allegations are failure to release records, failure to maintain adequate records, making false statements, incorrect diagnosis, improper billing, breach of confidentiality, and unprofessional conduct.
Okay, we've got Dr. Shaw is the patient complainant, JM. Are you available? If you are, we're going to refer to you by initials only, JM. You're here. I want you to unmute yourself and introduce yourself with your initials only. Okay, Dr. Shaw, what do you say to the allegations before us today?
I can't agree with any of them, actually.
Okay. So we the patient alleges that you didn't release the records on time, and that there were some procedures that were not actually done. They were billed for that things didn't happen on. Specifically, there was a massage. Who is Debbie Shaw? Is that a licensed massage therapist in your practice?
She is a chiropractic assistant.
Okay. Any relation to you?
Yes, she's my wife.
Okay. So she works in your office and she performs massage?
She does, yes.
Okay. All right. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Shaw?
This is Angela Powell. I have a couple of questions. Doctor, did you bill Medicare to receive payment on this claim?
I don't believe we would have billed Medicare. She's not a Medicare patient.
So I thought there was a couple of EOBs included in the packet of material we received. I was trying to figure out what the relationship was.
There may have been some some EOBs, and I don't normally look at all the EOBs and so forth, but it shouldn't have been for Medicare. I see claim forms in her file, and again, it's rather thick with insurance information and so forth, but I see like HICFA claim forms, but I imagine they're addressed to the Geico insurance or her other insurance.
Right.
As opposed to Medicare.
Yeah, I saw those. These are Physician Mutual Insurance Company, Physician Life Insurance Company.
Oh.
And in fact, the provider is listed as Tucson Physicians Group. Is that you?
No.
Or a business you own?
I don't know who that is, and I'm not familiar with the document we're referring to.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
But I can look through here real quick. As far as claim form, so you're talking about a HICFA claim form?
No, I'm talking about an EOB.
Okay. So I got claim forms. I didn't see any EOBs here. Let me look a little deeper in the file. Can you hear me okay? Because I can barely hear you.
Yes. I'll move up closer to the microphone. There are three of them, and then there's the key to disseminate what the codes mean. And the check amount was for $377.40. It's payable to Shaw Chiropractic.
So I have EOBs from Progressive so far, and from Geico. I'm paging through here. Another one, Geico. You said it was from Physicians Mutual?
Yes, Physicians Mutual.
And it's for that patient?
Sorry, say again.
What was the billing entity? Because ours are all billed as either Noel Shaw DC or Shaw Chiropractic.
This says Tucson Physicians Group. I thought perhaps you had another business.
Nope, that I don't even know who that is.
And I guess we don't know who these EOBs are from.
No, I don't know if that came. I don't think that came from our office, but perhaps it did. But I don't know where it would have come from. If it's got that, does it have JM's name on there? And as well as, in other words, how are you linking it to some? I'm sorry?
The names have been blacked out, so I don't know who they're supposed to. I mean, who they would be on. I assume they were right. On your patient.
So how are you linking that to me, the Tucson Physicians Group?
It was just in the information that we received, all the rest of the documents.
From we received from my office?
Yeah.
Okay. Without going through the entire file, I'm looking through the EOB section, and I don't see it there. So, but that's not me And I have no association or knowledge of Tucson Physicians Group.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to call out to the complainant again with the initials JM. Are you present so we can ask you some questions? All right. Well, when I read through this, I looked at it as a fee dispute generated entity. I did have a concern, Dr. Shaw, about some of the elbow complaints, and it sounded like the patient was upset that it wasn't documented correctly, and ultimately there was an MRI that diagnosed an injury. What do you say to that?
All right. Well, when JM first came in, she had it wasn't just her elbow. She had a pretty typical cervical brachial syndrome type of presentation, neck problems, shoulder problems, foramen compression tests elicited pain down into her arm and her elbow. So my initial take was that it had something more to do with her neck and shoulder injury than the elbow itself. So we kind of concentrated on the neck and the shoulder and the elbow for the first, several visits. And then when she wasn't responding as much, we did take a picture, a plain film x-ray, which of course doesn't show any soft tissue, except perhaps a swelling. And there did seem to be an enthesopathy type of change to the bone in that area. And so I explained to her that, to JM, that perhaps there was something there from an old injury that got aggravated by this. But that we would try and get a referral for her to get further evaluation of the elbow. It did not seem like an osseous problem. It seemed more muscular as far as her tenderness. So it didn't seem like something that, needed ER type attention or, urgent care type attention. Anyway, I finally did talk to her PCP. And tried to get set up with a referral, and that was how they ended up doing it. Most of the orthopedic groups in Tucson, I don't know how Phoenix is, but they don't like to work on a lien basis, and I wasn't familiar with who her insurance carriers were and so forth. So I went to her PCP and finally did get the referral, got the MRI. They were showing a minor tear is what they thought in some of the ligaments there. Does that kind of answer the question in a longabout way?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. One of the patient allegations was that you failed to release their records in a timely manner. What do you say to that?
I don't understand exactly what she's talking about. When we get a request for records, sometimes it takes a few days to get around to them, depending on how many other requests and how busy we're and so forth. But we didn't refuse to release records to anybody. There may have been a slight delay there. I don't know exactly how her allegation is couched in terms of time frame and to who and so forth.
Okay. What about this $100 insurance attorney fee? What is that?
Typically, it's a records fee that our office charges to either attorneys or insurance companies that want to get copies of records. That is our records preparation fee that we charge.
Okay, so that's your standard fee.
Which, by the way, it's now $75 because enough people complained about it being $100, so they seem happier with a $75.
Okay, any other questions, board members?
Dr. Shaw, this is Dr. Knopf. For the elbow injury, you took x-rays of that preliminarily. Is that correct?
Not right off the bat, because as I said, it seemed to be more of a cervical problem because her whole shoulder and arm was hurting. It wasn't just the elbow. So I didn't take them right away. It was several visits into it, I think, into her treatment.
And can you just confirm what your diagnosis was based off of the imaging that came back?
Well, I didn't see any fracture, dislocation, She had what appeared to be a small bone spur coming off. I can't remember. I think it was on, if it was on the lateral side, I believe. I don't know if it was on the epicondyle, I would imagine. And so my tentative diagnosis at that point was that it was an encephalopathy type of, you know, bone spur type of incident that would lead me to believe that there was perhaps a clinically silent problem there that got aggravated with her motor vehicle collision.
And your statement is that you were working with her primary. The patient started to ask for a referral for additional imaging, meaning an MRI. And at that point of her request, you started down that path working with her primary care, but you had, it sounds like you had a couple other hoops that you had to track down first or jump through first prior to making that referral. Is that correct?
Correct. I tried to get a referral just to one of the orthopedic groups that are, you know, prominent in Tucson, Tucson Orthopedic and so forth. And without knowing her insurance specifics, they wouldn't take a referral on a lien basis, you know, against a settlement of some sort in the future or against a car. And then if, and a lot of them, honestly, they say, oh, car accident, we don't want to be involved. We don't even deal with car accidents. You got to go through your primary. So that was, but we finally, I finally eventually did speak to her PCP and got her to do the referral.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. So looking at your treatment records, it doesn't look like you've signed all your treatment records. I'm looking at in our tab, it's an application treatment, and it almost looks like a travel card style. It's got the patient name at the top, and then it has dates of service 10/11/19, 10/14/19. There's some minimal entries involved in that. So how do you tell me about your record keeping process? You know, it looks like this might be your the records that you take at the time of service, and then at some point you go back and create a computer generated SOAP note.
Correct. That's pretty much how it works. Yeah. So a lot of my abbreviations are macros that, you know, rather than writing out an entire sentence or paragraph on each visit, if I know that I performed certain stretches or exercises or, you know, myofascial release or spinal manipulation, rather than write a sentence worth of words each time that person comes in, we use a contracted form, a little, you know, shorthand, basically, that then I can translate.
Understood. So when I look at in our board member and our tabs for SOAP, it has the date of service 10/11/2019, which looks like a much more complete note, but it's not signed by Dr. Shaw. Dr. Shaw, are you aware that every page of your records needs to be signed off by you so that we know which provider was involved?
Well, I'm the only provider in my office, so I normally don't sign every page.
I'm the only provider in my office, but if I ever had a fill-in, then it would, you know, be a potential problem.
I got you. That makes
you
sense.
You are obligated to sign every page.
Okay.
Okay. Board members, any other questions? Okay. So what do you want to do? Do you want to continue this? Do you want to dispose of it today, deal with it in a non-disciplinary fashion?
This is Dr. Knopf. I would make the motion to issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education in the area of documentation for 4 hours above and beyond the usual 12 required for renewal.
To be completed by?
To be completed within 90 days.
Okay.
I would second that motion.
And the non-disciplinary advisory letter is because of inadequate record keeping and What else? And what subparagraph?
So the allegation would be failure to maintain adequate records. Is there another?
There's a letter ABC that goes with that. With the non-disciplinary.
For continuing education?
No, for the just to order the non-disciplinary advisory letter. It's unlikely to.
I hadn't said anything about the letter. It was just for continuing education.
Well, I don't think you can't order continuing ed without having a first part of that, correct?
No, you can.
Okay.
You do have the authority to order non-disciplinary CE on its own.
On its own, without the advisory letter.
Yep.
Okay. So then, yeah, the motion would be for non-disciplinary continuing ed, 4 hours for documentation within 90 days.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it, 4 ayes. And that concludes the matter today for Dr. Shaw. Dr. Shaw, you'll be notified by the board what happened today and what your compliance will be.
Okay. Very good. Okay, thank you. Is that all?
That's all.
All right, thank you.
We're going to move on to tab number 12, board members, with Dr. James Zuba. Dr. Zuba, are you present now? Dr. Zuba, it's time to unmute and say hello. Okay, let's get a board brief for Dr. Zuba.
Allegations are failure to provide information to the board, answering no to question 18 on the 2021 renewal, and failure to complete continuing education.
Okay, and Dr. Zuba is has another case with us, and he's going to be on our June agenda. He was ordered to take the EBAS test.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we don't have any CE provided for 2019. Or 20 for both of those?
For both of those.
Then he answered question 18 on his 2021 renewal correctly. Okay. So, board members, what would you like to do?
Would we be able to move this to formal interview and combine it with the one that's already in progress, or is it recommended that we keep those two separate?
You could, Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan, you can move it forward with the understanding that you probably want to move it forward 2 months. That way you can consolidate next month with this case. And so we'll just re-agendize it to be consolidated next month, 2 months away with the other case.
All right. Yeah, because I think you said June, so that allows for proper notice. So my motion would be to forward this to formal interview and combine with the existing complaint.
Second motion.
Second by Ms. Powell. Is there further discussion?
And what are the factual allegations that that's based on?
Factual allegations are failure to provide information to the board and failure to complete continuing education.
And those are supported by
the fact that they answered no to question 18, and we still have a lack of CEs documented for 2019 and 2020.
Perfect. And that's based on the potential violations of law as stated under the allegations report.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Did we call for the question already? I don't think we did. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? The ayes have it. And now onward to Dr. Nathan Whitcup. Dr. Whitcup, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome. Okay. Can I just get a board brief, please?
The allegations are working outside the scope of chiropractic, false advertising, and unprofessional conduct.
Okay. And Dr. Witkop, I think that you did not renew for 2022. And then.
No, I didn't. I have my CE credits. I'm waiting on the email from Dr. Gregory Katsaros. I just emailed him back. I somehow lost the email he sent me that had the CE credits because I finished it in December. I did the clinical nuclear symposium.
Okay, so you did not renew for 2022 yet?
I did not renew yet for 2022.
Okay, and you're aware that you're on administrative suspension then, and that
yes.
You don't have a chiropractic
license. I have currently not practiced since December 2019 when I moved here.
Okay. All right, and so. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Witkop?
Yes, this is Dr. Knopf. Dr. Witkop, I believe what I got from the file that we were presented is you still are telephonically seeing patients in New York?
No, I was doing nutrition selling supplements with Standard Process, and that's okay. That's what I've done for and as basically as far as patient visits and having an office, I moved here to set up an office in December 2019 when the virus hit and basically had to go on unemployment and haven't been working until October of 2021. I got a job as a journeyman apprentice. I'm not working as a chiropractor currently.
Anybody else? Board members have any questions?
Yes, this is Mitch Turbinson. Do you still have a Facebook account for Witkop Chiropractic?
That was my business in New York State. And is it open still? Maybe I can just delete that. It's what it is. It's through, I had a personal Facebook and I just linked Witkop Chiropractic to it and it may still be linked. I don't use it at all currently. And I can delete that. I'll have to go through my Facebook. I went through, you had me get rid of podcasts and YouTube videos. Last year, I had the same scenario that everything, basically, I deleted everything. But I did find some more YouTube videos that I deleted about 4 weeks ago. And if I have something on my Facebook, I can get rid of the Witkop Chiropractic because that hasn't been active since my office was sold in New York State to someone else. So.
Okay. That's all I have.
Paul?
No questions.
Dr. Witkop, are you planning on renewing your license? And if so, why, if you're not practicing?
I need to figure this out because I'm looking at all the laws and different things. I am currently going on a different path. Is there a way for me to basically retire? I'm ready to basically get rid of my chiropractic license. It's just whether or not, I have to talk to the board to see how I go about this. I've kept it open because I was hoping to possibly start up an office, but I just don't see that happening with the current economy. I'm in Sedona and right now the economy in Sedona is great for people coming in and out. But as far as running a business where I have locals, it's not the greatest economy, so I went a different route.
Okay. Well, you can talk to staff about that on another day if you want to consider all your options.
So I can get you the CE credits for 2020 definitely because I have them. I've been trying to get a hold of this doctor for the last month since I got the subpoena sent to me by mail. So.
2021 is what you would need for 2022.
I have 2021's CE credits just to, for 2022, yes. If I'm okay. going to renew the license, I have to figure this out with the board. I'm not totally sure what I should do in this scenario where I'm at. So I'll talk more calling with basically, you know, like figuring things out with my application and all that.
So your testimony today is that you are not actively advertising some of the violations that we see in front of us, and that you're willing to take everything down.
Yes, I took it all down, but I did find when I got the subpoena, I was wondering what happened and why this came back up. I found some YouTube videos that were still open that I did delete. I think there was three videos for nutrition and I got rid of them. I would even get rid of my whole personal Facebook right now. Whatever it takes, I tried to do this a year ago in the last testimony because the same thing happened. I was up in 2020 and 2021 for my license because of advertising. And again, I was not practicing. I was on unemployment, but I was going to try to get something going. And then I deleted it all after the last hearing last year. I think it was in August in 2021.
Okay. Well, So board members, one option we would have would be to offer a consent agreement for him to surrender his license, you know, and or continue the matter for a future meeting where he would have to answer for the violations that we see in front of us for the advertising issues. Sign the consent agreement.
I would consent to surrender.
Board members, it is important to understand that that is a disciplinary order if he does decide to voluntarily surrender his license. Another option you have is that he's evidence wanting to go on a retired status. If you can believe that, if you can resolve this matter, he can go back into good standing and then he could retire. He could petition to retire his license. So okay. There's multiple roads. It's up to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. To resolve it, we need evidence that all of the websites are taken down and
so
for
Facebook, do I get rid of my personal Facebook? I can get rid of everything chiropractically that was linked. Is that okay? Or do I need to get rid of the personal Facebook?
So it's not our job to counsel you and tell you how to clean it up. Unfortunately, much as, you know, we're not in a position to offer any advice to you.
Okay.
You've been noticed of the complaint. You've been before us several times now.
Yes.
You need to, if you want to keep your license free of discipline, you need to come into compliance with that. And if this board wants to see you on another day, then you'll have a chance to demonstrate that. And are you agreeable to going out of retirement status with your license?
I would rather just get rid of it if I could voluntarily suspend it. Is that a possibility?
Well, if there are disciplinary repercussions if you surrender your license.
Board members, Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan, I could draft something and have board send it to Mr. Witkop and he could think about it.
Okay.
See what he thinks after reading it.
Okay.
So you heard Mr. Monahan say that he can, you know, send you a consent agreement that you can decide if it looks reasonable or not, and we can go from there.
Okay. I just want to know, can you tell me what showed up so I know? That way I can, if I didn't delete, if it was YouTube, that's gone. But if I didn't delete it, I know what to look for, just so that way it's gone forever.
Staff might know otherwise, you know.
Yeah, you can contact staff after the meeting today and you can work it out with them.
Because they wouldn't give me that information before, so.
Okay, well, you can also read the statutes as they relate to advertising as to what you can and can't do in Arizona. And if you can't understand, you should hire an attorney And
I have
if you hire an attorney, then they can go through and they can clean up all your advertising and you can go from there too. It's not our job to fix your advertising problems.
Okay. I just said I have that I know of. I have zero advertising. I deleted it that last time I was up in front of the board. So.
Okay. All right. So board members, someone want to make a motion?
I think it'd be a motion to continue the matter and in the interim have the Assistant Attorney General draft a consent agreement consistent with what we talked about today.
Okay. I'll make the motion to continue and have the Attorney General draft a consent agreement concerning the issues we just discussed, in particular violation of ARS 32-3208. Need to list any others?
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, second by Dr. Knopf. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. So, Dr. Whitcobb, you'll be contacted by board staff, and if you have any questions about what happened today, you can contact them on another day.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. We're on to tab number 15 for licensure. Stephanie Clay.
Yes, Stephanie Clay here.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Vanderveen.
Dr. Clay has applied for licensure by examination. She graduated from the Texas Chiropractic College in 2001. She has been licensed to practice in Alaska, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. However, she does not currently have an active chiropractic license since 2016. She has held an active license to practice as a registered nurse.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, when we have somebody who wants to get their license and they have not been actively licensed anytime recently, sometimes we'll order the special purposes exam, the spec exam by the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners, which is a clinical competency exam. So that could be an option. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Clay?
Yes, this is Dr. Knopf. Dr. Clay, I know you've held your nursing license consecutively over the past years. Can you just give us an overview of what your experience has been in providing patient care over the past 5 years?
So during the time period that I was in retired status, basically. So what happened was, I mean, I'll just give you a history. I got to the point where I was burned out with chiropractic. The hoops that you jump and everything that you go through, I was pretty burned out on them. And I decided that the scope of practice, I wanted a larger scope of practice. So I retired for a little bit to regroup, then went back to get my nursing license, went to school, got my nursing license, and, have been practicing the last year and a half, from the time I got my, so I finished school in, of course, December 2019, couldn't take the NCLEX exam or anything at that point because everything was closed. And so, you know, they rescheduled my exam five different times before I finally got through, was able to get in and take my NCLEX exam, practice that. I practiced in Arizona as a RN and in the prison down Red Rock Correctional. So I practiced there. I worked at night for them, and I was the highest medical officer on site on the nights that I was there. So basically I saw anybody, whatever they needed, whether it was from wound care treatment to injections for syphilis to you name it, I've done it. The psych end of it, seeing patients that, you know, we had people back in holding, treated COVID patients, you know, if there was an accident, a injury, a, you know, fight, whatever. I was one who assessed and would then call the MD and decide whether we were sending them out by ambulance or by, you know, if it wasn't as bad and needing ambulance, we might send out via transport. So I was definitely active in all of, you know, in medical period. I did a little bit of all of it. From there, I went and worked in psychiatric in Arkansas at a behavioral health facility. And I was expecting this license to come through a long time ago. It has taken, this has been quite the journey. And so I quit that job thinking that I was about to start this one and was ready to go to Arizona. And I have a job lined out there and a company to work for, but I'm waiting on a license to do so. And yeah, so it's almost been a full-time job to get everything into the, to this, because I've had licenses in a number of places and then getting through the RN to get the licensure sent to you guys with all of the stuff, because nursing doesn't quite handshake with chiropractic as far as, you know, sending, you know, testing scores and the licensure verification of good standing. But I've never been brought before a board. I've never had an issue with good standing. I've never had any of that. Not only am I a DC, but I also have two postdoctoral diplomates, one in internal medicine, the DABC, and one in clinical nutrition, the DCBCN. So there's in a nutshell what I've done. I am, and I'll just tell you that, yes, I'm going to, if you guys give me the chiropractic license, yes, I'm going to continue to work as a chiropractor. The joint is where I have a tentative job once this, you know, if we get this settled with you guys. That being the case, I will also be continuing to get my nurse practitioner, because the goal is to be able to practice as a DC and a nurse practitioner. Whether I end up doing it in Arizona or not, that is to be determined at a future date. That answer all your questions?
I have no further questions.
Okay, so Mr. Monahan, what are our options if we did order a spec exam, which is it's a baseline clinical competency exam for people that have been out of school for a little while. If we ordered that, we would not grant the license as on a probationary status pending that. We would have to order that test, and what's her pathway to licensure? They can pass that and then come back for us, or how do we do that?
I think that would be appropriate. Have her take the spec exam if that's what you want her to do, and then have her come back after she's passed the spec exam. And I'm not sure how that plays into, because I believe she's by examination, correct? So she'll have to take the test.
No, she's by endorsement.
Oh, by endorsement.
Oh, sorry. You're correct. She is by examination.
Okay. And I'm not sure how that plays into it. If it's a dual, you know, if she's taking the exact same, you know, is the test the same? I'm not sure. That's up to you guys. But, yeah, you could order the spec.
And board members, what's your pleasure? What would you like to do?
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
So even though it states on the website that all I need is 1, 2, 3, 4, and then PT, and I've passed all of those, that you're saying that because it's been a time since I've actually practiced chiropractic, that y'all want me to take the spec exam? Is that what you're leaning towards?
That's what we're debating right now, yes.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Not a hard and cool, is it? Option.
Yeah, it's an option. You know, we could grant licensure today, or if you're comfortable, or we can require the spec.
And the PT portion, right?
No, she's got she did the PM, TPP, physical medicine modalities, therapeutic procedures.
That one.
Mm-hmm. She's got all that in place already.
Motion to grant her license.
Is there a second?
I second.
Any further discussion? Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, congratulations. The ayes have it, and you'll be granted a license.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
Okay, thank you. All right, tab 16 is Dr. Lasabage.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sure I said your name incorrectly. How do you say your name?
Graf Lasabage, it's correct. Very good.
Okay. Okay. Can I get a board brief? This is a universal, or this is an endorsement app?
Yes, this is an endorsement application. He answered yes to question 36 and submitted a written letter explaining the cases. The court documents from St. Louis County Courthouse state that they no longer have the records. And then, so there are cases, and they date back to 1990, 10-3 of 1990, 2-17 of 1991, and 2000. And then his FBI background check only included the case from 2000.
Okay. Dr. Lasabage, what do you say for yourself?
I made a couple of very big mistakes that I have taken an action to correct. I just don't drink alcohol anymore at all.
Okay. And that was 20 to 30 years ago?
Correct.
I appreciate you answering appropriately for question 36 and being transparent with that. That's very helpful. Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Lasabage? Want to make a motion?
This is Dr. Knopf. I'll make the motion to grant licensure upon payment of appropriate fees.
Second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powell. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, congratulations. You'll be granted a license.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right, board members, we're moving on to our approval of our minutes. And want to say somebody did a great job on these, as far as I could see. Who gets credit over there? Okay. So let's go ahead and start with the open meeting minutes for January 12th, 2022. Get there.
Say open or confidential?
Starting with the open.
Okay.
So we've got 7 pages. Any corrections on page 1? How about page 2? 3? 4 of 7. Page 5.
Page 5, I have one. On line 24, Dr. Serafini versus Serafini.
Thank you.
I take back what I said then.
Okay. I'll pack my stuff up after the meeting.
No,
thanks. How about page 6? And finally, page 7. Okay, is there a move to approve as amended?
I'll make the motion to approve as amended.
Dr. Knopf is first, and is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powell. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Let's go on to the executive session meeting minutes for the same day. January 12, 2022. Any corrections on page 1 of 2? Page 2 of 2.
Yeah, on page 2, line 5, second sentence, the board may considering dismissing, the board may consider dismissing the complaint. I think is what's meant.
How about page 2? Okay, is there a move to approve as amended?
I'll make the motion to approve as amended.
Okay, first by Knopf, second by Ms. Powell, and I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the ayes have it. Let's go to January 18th, 2022, special meeting. Got 2 pages there. We were missing Dr. Knopf that day. Is there any correction to page 1 or 2? I'll make a motion to accept as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powell. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 I believe I have to recuse.
You do?
Yep. I'll recuse.
Or you can just refrain. Any opposed? Okay. So we have three ayes and one who was absent. Okay. And then we have open session meeting minutes for February 25th, 2022. Gonna pull that up. Give me a moment. Okay, any corrections on page one?
On the last line on page one, there's an errant apostrophe, I think, on exhibits.
Okay, thank you.
Page two. Page three. It says civil plenty somewhere.
All right, I'll find it.
It says,
page two.
Page two.
Line 15-ish.
Okay, yep.
Got it.
Okay, sure, I'll move to approve.
I'll move to approve as amended.
Second.
Second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. Okay, and I don't believe we had executive session meeting minutes that day, so we'll strike that from the agenda.
Yep.
And then on to the interim executive director's report. Ms. Van Der Veen.
Well, I provided you with December and January's financials, and the one thing that I wanted to discuss is, or bring to your attention, is we will have, it hasn't come through yet on the financials, but we will have to, we're required to do some annual leave payouts for Dr. Nigeri and Jamie. So that total, and then the payout for Dr. Kolash, so the total about $25,000 is going to hit our budget for those annual leave payouts. I am in the process of working with the Joint Legislative Committee and OSPB to try to have those funds restored. If we don't get those funds restored, we're looking at probably burning through quite a bit of our appropriation about, and potentially could have at the end of the year about only $4,000 left, which impacts our ability to hire an additional staff member and those types of things moving forward. So I just wanted you to be aware of that, that we're working to kind of restore that, but if that doesn't happen, that's kind of where the board sits financially. As that was just a huge unplanned expenditure.
So how does that work? So the $25,000, I mean, once that leave payoff happens, is that all behind us then, or is this an ongoing?
Once the leave payout happens, and once we get to July and we get our full appropriation for the year, we'll be in better stead. A lot of this is just how do we get to July? Because that was an unplanned expenditure. I think Dr. Nayeri was very positive in his reflection, trying to look at vacancy savings for the time that you didn't have an executive director and didn't have a deputy director. But that savings wasn't as significant as I think he maybe led you all to believe. So, and the other thing that I've tried to prioritize within this that I think will help alleviate staff is we are looking at a database called Setnia. It was part of the governor's upcoming budget that we would get allocated funds for that. If we could get on that sooner, I think that would alleviate a lot of the pressure the staff feels in terms of how manual our process is, which is why you need the extra kind of body. But that would alleviate some of the workload. So trying to prioritize and have the funds for that to be able to move forward with that prior to July. Because my concern is if we start onboarding that new system in July, that basically the go live date is when we start the renewal. And I think it's too much. I would like to be on for 30 or 60 days prior to sending out and having everybody have to log into a portal to do their renewal.
Oh. Having no experience. I don't know what it meant by a payout.
Payout. So when individuals transfer from other state agencies, you maintain your annual leave from that agency, and you can bank up to, I believe it's 300 hours. So when they depart state service, since they're not staying with the state, we have to make a cash payout because it's a benefit. So he had almost 300, he had over 300 hours, and Jamie was the same way. So hopefully, if we can get it rectified and restored, it would go back to their original agency.
Thank you.
Other questions about the financials? The other thing I would like to close out, and I think staff deserves huge kudos for this. We processed over 2,000 license renewals. All of them are complete. Admin suspension notices have been sent. From January 1 to February 1st, we processed 1,490 renewal applications. As of right now today, we have 13 incomplete renewals, which means we have their application. We're either missing a late payment or they check the box and they're not a U.S. citizen, so we're waiting for U.S. citizen documents or work visas in order to move those applications forward. But they've all been notified. They've all been called, so they're aware of that. We processed 136 renewal applications after February 1st, and we placed 167 licenses on admin suspension. And as of right now, we have 105 for 2021 that are on admin suspension. For the licensure report, since our last board meeting, we've issued 24 new licenses. License pending, meaning they're somewhere in the process of being reviewed or waiting for background checks. We have 27. And since the last board meeting, we've received 20 new applications. And then for compliance for investigations, cases waiting, the initial investigation is currently at zero. Open cases in the investigation phase, we have 39 cases that are pending. Either initial appearance or the formal interview is 50. We have one consent agreement that is complete. We are just waiting for signature from the respondent, so that's Dr. Doty's. We have 7 cases that are pending formal hearing, and then today you have 13 cases on your agenda. So in terms of where we are in compliance and wrapping things up, from 2018, we have 4 cases left. We have one left from 2019, and the 2018 is really Doty's. Once he signs his CAs, those will fall off. We have 10 from 2020 and 22 for 2021. Any questions on that? I wanted to bring to your attention for legislative purposes, there is a bill that other executive directors have come out and opposed, and I'm not recommending our board take any action today. I just wanted you to be aware that Senator Bartow is running a bill to kind of address some issues that they believe that the boards have in terms of the timeline for how long it takes us to close out complaints. So basically, this bill would state if we didn't have something completed, I believe in like 180 days, we could administratively suspend it, or they initially wanted us to just, we would have to dismiss it if we hadn't finished our process. So I've been working with a group of executive directors to try to clean up the language, asking for additional funds to hire investigators to be able to process in that faster timeline, as well as address some of the other administrative issues they put forward in this bill. There is a floor amendment with the majority of those changes that's supposed to go before the committee as a whole, I believe this week or next week. So I just wanted that to be on your radar because it's some pretty significant changes for our processes.
So can I say hypothetically then, if we had somebody who didn't comply with the subpoena that we sent them, and it took us 6 months or more to go ahead and get information from them, then we would be in a position to either administratively suspend or drop it?
Correct.
Okay.
Welcome. Any other questions? And then my last item is I would like the board to make a motion today to allow me as your registered lobbyist to log in and register support for SB 1077, which is the Access Chiropractic Care Report Bill, and also do the same for SB 1601, which is our sunset, which has passed the House and is, or passed the Senate and has made its way over to the House.
So do we have to vote you as our lobbyist for every bill?
No, I am your registered lobbyist. That's how it's documented with the Secretary of State. I am just asking you as a board to make a formal motion so that I have the authority to go.
To be supportive of the, those two bills. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to give you the authority to advocate in support of Senate Bill 1077 and 1601.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Absent. So the ayes have it. Have a website update?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot about that. I provided you screenshots because it's not in a link, but the state is moving to a new website platform. So this is not something that is staff initiated. This is state initiated. And so we are going through the process of revamping our website. And I just wanted you to be aware that there would be some changes. We've agreed to just have the state transfer ours over, and so then Ryan and I in the background will be cleaning up as we go. We decided that was the least burdensome way for staff.
So who hosted our website before?
The state.
And why are they changing?
So Drupal, I believe we're on Drupal 7 and it's going away, so everybody's okay. Having to migrate over to Drupal 9.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm going to make a call to the public. This is your time to say whatever you would like to say. We can't respond. I see we've got maybe a few people on that are virtual. So if you would like to comment on what you saw today, we would love to hear from you. But it's not a two-way conversation. So that said, you can unmute and introduce yourself for the record, if you like. Okay, hearing none, this meeting is adjourned at 12:52 p.m. and we will meet again next month. Thank you. Thank you, staff, for doing a wonderful job licensing.